Tonight, we have gaming news of a possibly 35-year-old bug, re-examining a 15-year-old bug, and PC builders doing their civic duty for today's reality and a remake new content. Stay tuned for the recent articles about old content and new, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 815 for this April the 12th of 2020. A happy Easter out there to those of you that celebrate it. To other folks out there, including our very own Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, a very happy Bunny Day.
No, it's still Passover, so Chag Pesach Sameach.
Oh yes, there is that still going on as well. I thought that was midweek.
Which ends before my birthday.
Well, happy that to you as well.
I get cake for my birthday, and it's gonna be a carrot cake with no raisins, and I'll be on the show too.
Oh, good, good. Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
next Sunday.
Good and not good. I mean, I know you'd probably rather be out at the Cherry Blossom Festival or some of the things you usually do on your birthday weekend, but it's a weird year. We're doing different things.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten to see any cherry blossoms at all this year, which is usually like what I live for, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, to my Jew crew listening, Chag Sameach, everybody.
Something I've been telling all my friends that have a birthday around this time is that, you know, at least you completely have justification to get a makeup birthday when this is all over. So we're going to have a lot of birthdays come July, August, June, depending on when we're allowed to gather again. Who knows?
Girl, you know what it's going to be, right?
We're
going to Disneyland.
We're
all going the fuck to Disneyland.
I would be so down for that, to be quite honest. So, yeah.
I don't care how many humans are there. I'll deal. I'll just, you know... I don't know, though. I mean, this is probably going to be a while. It's probably not going to be until next year. I mean, being logical about it, they're saying, you know, 18 months at minimum before, you know, a vaccine is out and kicked in and spread amongst enough people to be effective. So,
right. Well, we'll see.
Play it safe and play it smart.
You know, we'll listen to the scientists. You know, I think, running and going to Disneyland will probably not be the first thing, because Disneyland's going to be one of the last things to kind of come back. Just like, you know, I've got my eye on Dragon Con, and I'm hopeful that Dragon Con will still happen. I'm hopeful that testing and all that stuff will be at a good enough place. They can do contact tracing and all that stuff. But if the scientists say don't do it, then it is what it is. You know, we're gonna listen to science and make our educated decisions that way. So
I haven't heard anything on DerpyCon either. So, I mean, that's not until the end of October. But certainly next year, since I'm not doing I'm not going to do DragCon anymore, because I'll be perfectly honest, they've kind of done one of the groups that I'm in a little bit dirty. And on top of that, I don't want to support. I mean, it's enough that I watch the show and I'll leave it that way. I'm not going to support someone who does fracking and has been such a shit to other people. So I am probably going to do a Dragon Con next year.
Yeah. Oh, don't say it if you don't mean it.
I don't mean it. I need to talk to you about, you know, what the situation for us going and, you know, panels and crap, but we'll talk.
Between Bobby and I, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. But yeah, don't say it if you don't mean it, because you're gonna get my hopes up.
I'll put it this way. I do absolutely mean it, and I will do whatever is in my power to make it happen. Besides that, I have been contemplating some epic cosplays for next year.
There you go. All right.
Including a character I'm probably way too short to portray, but hey, I really like Zaki.
Well, somebody else I'd like to get that kind of commitment from. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Yeah, Loki.
Also here. And Loki might be on mute. Hello?
I'm sorry, my keybinds aren't working.
Oh, that's okay.
Or it wasn't working for a second there because I was typing in chat.
All right. Well, oh, okay. I see. Well, you're multitasking. That's fine. And you're reminding us that we do have a live chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network. You can also visit us on the web at vognetwork.com, because we have a lot of friendly podcasts that we're in this network with, a lot of awesome shows that, you know, not only things we host here at VOG Network on Twitch, things like Girls Gone Wow and Anime Jam Session, but the interesting interesting. Not that this quarantine situation is a good thing at all, but if you want to look for the diamonds in the rough, shall we say, some of our podcasts that have gone on hiatus, you know, just because life gets in the way sometimes, have found the time to record again. So the Geek Card just put out a new episode this last week, and I'm told another one is coming. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what yet, but they're in chat probably, so maybe they'll say something. But yeah, so that's, you know, not the way I want shows to come back, but, you know, hey, if it's like the one piece of good news in this situation, then I will stink and take it. Anyway, so Loki, one of these years we got to get you to Dragon Con as well. I mean, it probably won't be till the kids are 18, but we'll hope for it.
Yeah, well, I would have said, yeah definitely.
how has your week been personally? I know usually you do family stuff today, so I know things have kind of changed this year, but were you able to take the kids out to a park to do or have a good dinner or anything like that?
No, I hid eggs this morning. They like looked for them in our house, so we did that. And then we went out to the park just to ride. They rode their bikes and stuff. But like, I mean, I cook all week, so like, you know, I made my honey butter chicken, that stuff that's like crack. So
well, that's right, you talked about that last week. That's awesome.
I made that. Yes, I bought 4 pounds worth of wings, and I made all of them, and so good.
I love it. All right, yeah, it's interesting how so this.
You're gonna leave some on my doorstep, right?
Not gonna be any left.
It's interesting how this situation has led people to doing more cooking. Alan cooked this morning. He made some lemon poppy seed muffins. They were really good. So he doesn't always do stuff like that. So it's cool. So anyway, all right.
I'm making bread when Passover's over, but I decided I think tomorrow night I'm going to try my hand at matzah.
Mmm. Yum, yum. Lots of food.
Matzah is penance, to be honest.
Lots of food to eat while we're playing lots of games. And I know there's been lots of game playing amongst the crew this week. We'll get into that in a bit, but we like to start usually with a kickoff topic. So this week's kickoff topic has to do with Nintendo Switch, which has, you know, is already probably the most popular console out there. I think that would be a fair statement to make right now, especially because we know PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are kind of on the, you know, they're on their way out the door. As we know, PlayStation 5 and Xbox, I keep wanting to call it the XX, but Xbox Series X are on their way in the door.
Just go with your instincts.
That's right. Go with what you know. So the Switch is probably really the king of the hill right now, especially when you consider things like Animal Crossing is just like – it's become like this pop culture icon amongst this – situation. It has proven to be like the ultimate form of escapism. So many people want to get their hands on a Switch, and it's actually come to the point where the Switch supply is really low. And like, let's be real, Nintendo isn't the greatest when it comes to hardware demand and all that stuff anyway. And this situation, you know, I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but this situation just isn't helping what's already usually a rough ride for Nintendo. What I mean by that, Nintendo announced this week that they suspended shipments of, excuse me, oh, can't do anything about that, sneezes live on air. Nintendo suspended shipments of the Nintendo Switch system in Japan. This is only a temporary thing because if you're not aware, the COVID-19 situation is increasing in Japan. They're probably a couple weeks behind where we've been at in regards to, you know, how it's spreading through the population and so forth. So this is just a temporary move, Nintendo says, but it does mean that devices are not shipping outside of reservations. They don't know when shipments will resume. They are saying that this move does not affect consumers in Europe and North America, but I feel like that just can't be true. And I don't know if that maybe goes all the way back to when China's been going through some of these things and the factory and the productions there, we're kind of seeing the trickle-down effects. But I know people that are trying to get their hands on a Nintendo Switch, and it really isn't the easiest thing to do right now. To give you an idea of the situation in Japan, the Switch stock is so low that retailers are starting to do lotteries. So a Japanese store named Yamada Denke put up a lottery to potentially buy 130 Switch consoles and 900 copies of Ring Fit Adventure, which is another really hard thing to find right now, probably because it involves hardware. It has that little ring that goes with it, that resistance band, and so it probably limits the number of those that Nintendo can put out. 200,000 people entered the lottery. 199,000 of them flippers. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm also probably not, sadly. But 200,000 people entered the lottery. That is for one retailer. So, yeah, Nintendo is trying to ship more units, but that gives you an idea how crazy the supply and the demand is right there, right now in Japan. So what is it about the Nintendo Switch that is driving people crazy for it? Now, I mean,
I can tell you.
Well, yeah, and I well, let me come to you, Darksucker, for your opinion, but I just want to say, especially now in this quarantine COVID situation, I mean, these sorts of things we expect to hear around the holidays, around the launch, but this, we're not talking the launch period. This is like 2 years into the system's life now. Darksucker, what's your thoughts?
Animal Crossing.
What is it about Animal Crossing?
Well, and I'm looking at it sort of as the, you know, my 2 years of, you know, psychology before I changed my major type stuff. The issue is that right now a lot of stuff is out of control, right? We don't have a lot of active control over what we can do in our lives. You know, we can't go out. We can't do things. We can't see the people that we want to see. But Animal Crossing has been this way to remotely visit people. Like, I mean, for me, I've been hanging out with my friend Gwen practically every day, and we were college roommates and haven't seen each other since a couple of years since I moved out here. But, you know, we chat every day. We talk. She used to be in our WoW guild for a while. You remember? She's actually on Final Fantasy 14 right now.
Yeah, I know she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, I've been playing with Tiara. You know, they've been, you know, really good company. And, you know, I can do stuff in my town. I can, you know, it's something that I have a more active control over, something that I am doing, something that's giving me kind of that immediate reward. And on top of that, now some people have been just absolutely cutthroat with the game, but you know, it's been a lot of people cooperating with each other. It's taking that stuff, you know, that we're trying to get and encourage people to do in real life, but we have this controllable environment that kind of does let us be in the presence of other people to interact.
Yeah, and, no, yeah. That's a very interesting take, and I like that, the fact that even though this situation you can't control things, but in Animal Crossing, relatively, you have control over things. I mean, maybe not everything. Like the other day, Rocket threatened to move out of my town, and I basically said she's not allowed to do that, and if she leaves, I'm going to burn down the town. But she didn't, so I'm very happy about that, because Rocket and Ketchup are my two favorite villagers, just for the record. I especially love Ketchup. I will die for Ketchup.
Octavian is pissing me off because I invited him for a second time because he's my favorite grumpy old man octopus.
Uh-huh.
And so now I have to invite him a third time to try to convince him. I gave up on Dina.
Aw.
But Dina, I think, has moved on to other levels of her lesbianism. And if you – I'll tell you what, Brad. Pod Culture and Chat says, how do we send Ed to Jamie? You shut your whore mouth, okay?
As the island turns. These, like,
not happening.
Like bells through the hourglass. These are the days of our horizons.
But you know what I did find amongst my amiibo cards?
Mm.
I found Julian.
Yeah, no, you had a crap ton of those amiibo cards. And I have the actual figurines. Do you know what I actually have that now apparently is, like, really valuable? I have a sealed copy of Wii U Animal Crossing with the Isabelle amiibo and the other guy in it still. Sealed.
Oh, what you mean the Amiibo
Festival?
Dog.
Yeah, Amiibo Festival. That's it. Apparently, those are going for like hundreds of dollars on eBay.
I have the game, although I've played it because I actually think it's legit fun.
Yeah, I never opened it, and like I was thinking about opening it the other day because this is the hilarious part. Alan got it for like $10 on a Target clearance because, you know, as the Wii U, that was one of the last games in the heyday of the Wii U, so that was kind of on its way out the door. And now everybody wants their hands on those amiibo, and you know, Wii U games in general are becoming collector's items. So I don't know if I want to keep it, sell it, what I want to do. So it's tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, nothing has financial value until you try to sell it.
I guess that's true. Anyway, I want to get some of the comments from our chat room over at Twitch.
And then good fucking luck.
Over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, because a lot of folks have some comments on this. So Melchan in our chat says, I have mine, but I've been trying to find one for my client to keep her busy. I'm assuming this is a Switch. Between tons of families suddenly stuck at home and the biggest game for it in a long time happening simultaneously, it just added to it. Let's see. Fifth Dream Today says, someone I know from the goth community I'm in and barely knew since Animal Crossing New Horizons came out, we've been talking and trading and having conversations about other things. Well, you know, sometimes video games really do bring us together. And for me, it's always been about MMOs. Like, some of my closest friendships were formed because of MMOs and being able to play MMOs online with people. I mean, hell, even like Loki and I, before we lived together, we were playing Final Fantasy XI a lot online. So, you know, a lot of times video games can definitely bring us together. And although I wouldn't call Animal Crossing New Horizons an MMO per se, there definitely is an important multiplayer component about it, for sure. YYR says it was definitely the Animal Crossing New Horizons release above all. Also, despite Nintendo's selection of multiplayer games, you need multiple systems to really take advantage. So a lot of thoughts there on the Nintendo Switch shortage. And then when it comes to Ring Fit Adventure, SSG100 Matt says, I've been playing a ton of Ring Fit Adventure. It's the best thing to keep me active without going outside, which I do at midnight when no one is around. But Ring Fit Adventure offers a great workout. And yeah, I think that game in particular, you know, that game was getting kind of hard to find anyway. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, some people... Like, I do go outdoors once in a while, and I go to parks, and I still play my GPS games like Orna and Ingress and stuff, but I find that I'm going to the same parks and the same places, and it's getting a little dry for me. So Ring Fit Adventure is something a little bit kind of like different, I think. You know, you're working your way. It's digitally different, but it's still something different. And then, of course, they added that music game mode right after the last Direct that kind of added something to it as well. So I think Ring Fit Adventure feels a lot different than taking a walk around that same neighborhood park you've taken a trip around many, many times before. So, yeah, SG100 Matt says, folks can't go to the gym. Ring Fit offers a great alternative. Loki, let me go to you. What do you think is the Switch fever? What is it that's making everybody crave one of these right now?
Because they can't have it, so then they want it. I don't know. I think it's just, it's popular. I don't see Animal Crossing as a system seller, but I don't know. I really would think it would be a different game or something like that, but I don't know. I don't know what the... I think people finding maybe more time to play games now, and so they decided that they want to get a Switch, and maybe we're hearing more about the Switch because Xbox and PlayStation 4 are still easy to get.
And I would normally agree with you that Animal Crossing, I would not have thought would have been a game that would be a system seller in any other... That doesn't mean it's a bad game. I just wouldn't have seen it as something that moved... I mean, there's always going to be, like, the hardcore fans, but I wouldn't have seen it as something that moved a lot of systems in any other circumstance. But in this particular world circumstance, now I'm like, oh, it kind of is, though.
Yeah, and I don't even know necessarily it's just because Animal Crossing came... I mean, I think it's just the timing in general, and I think it's because Nintendo has historically had a poor... they've done a poor job of fulfilling orders for... their systems. And yeah, I know they're blaming on the COVID stuff now, but let's be honest. I mean, they're going to blame it on everything. It'd be interesting to see like the actual numbers of how many systems have been sold. I mean, I know Nintendo does well, and I'm not just going to say that. I don't think it's dramatically different. I just think that because now the demand has gone up, that now they're having supply issues again. Whereas I'm not sure, I assume that the demand's gone up across the board for all systems, but I think that they're able to handle their supply a little bit better, maybe. I don't know, but I'd be curious to see how the other systems fare as well.
Yeah, I think Animal Crossing 2 is very different from a Zelda, very different from a Mario Party or Mario Kart that's already on the Switch, because I think Animal Crossing is a game where, you know, as Dark Sakura was kind of explaining with her old roommate, you can kind of get together and do things in a space. Whereas, you know, that's not really what you're doing in Mario Kart. I mean, yes, you can play that game online with friends, or Splatoon even. I mean, and that doesn't make those games bad at all. They're great for what they are, but they're not like existing in the same space and building this space together that's almost like fulfilling this need that many of us like are not getting in the real world right now. It's something very specific about that game. In many ways, Nintendo could not have timed it any better. And I know that sounds like a really crass thing to say, and nobody would have ever wished this situation on anything, but it's just, it's how the pieces fell for this particular game in this circumstance, and it's really worked out in this game's favor. It is what it is. You know, yeah, I know I sound like a horrible person when I'm saying it that way, but that's just the reality. Like,
you don't sound horrible at all, though. That sounds absolutely accurate. I mean, not that they purposefully timed it like this.
Sure, nobody could
see. But the timing was perfect. You know, no one knew that there was going to be a pandemic, but the fact that this came out just at the right time has been a godsend for a lot of people's sanity. You know?
Yeah, and yeah, in many ways, like, yeah, and it's interesting because Bobby points out they did delay it. It was a November game last year, and in many ways, I can't believe here we are now saying this, but thank God they delayed it, right?
And I know that there's another company that's hoping to get the same kind of fire lit under their game because it's come out a while ago and hasn't done very well, but now they're releasing it on Steam, and that's Fallout 76 is finally coming to Steam, but it's Fallout 76.
Yeah, number one, it's Fallout 76, and I feel like most people have already made their judgment on that. I mean, good luck to them. You know,
they have the Wastelanders expansion, and I don't, not to say that it can never be good at some point. It's just,
look, I'm going to send my thoughts and prayers to Fallout 76, but the reality is what it doesn't have that Animal Crossing has, I think, is a sense of accessibility. And by that, I mean, like, kids play Animal Crossing. It's very easy for adults. We have the famous grandma that plays Animal Crossing. And it's not that these folks can't play Fallout 76, although I don't know if, you know, with the violence in that game, it may be appropriate for all audiences. But it's just something about the accessibility of an Animal Crossing game versus a Fallout 76, where it's like, Fallout 76, you'll never be glamour. Like, you'll never be glamour, Fallout. You never will. Animal Crossing has that it factor, that X factor, that accessibility, that universal appeal thing that, like, I'm sorry, Bethesda, but Fallout 76 doesn't have it. Now, for a certain audience and a certain group and certain people that will, you know, turn their nose up at Animal Crossing, and yes, Fallout 76 will play to that audience, but the reality is it's not as big of an audience. So, there's
I figured as much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've got Dan back into playing Animal Crossing, which he had no interest in since, you know, the GameCube one where you had all your NES games in there. And he and I have been, I've been whoring him out to, you know, pay off all of my, you know, bridges and inclines and stuff by making his own tarantula island. But for him, I think he's found some things in it very therapeutic. So it's brought people back into that fandom too.
And
the fan art community has been a delight.
I am all about the stock market. I am all about, and I'm
stonks.
The stonks, turnips. I heard you like turnips.
Terps.
Because Terps. I am that person that, like, I have a little group chat with like Shane and some of the other people. I play Final Fantasy 14, and like just before noon in the AM, I have this picture of Tom Nook holding a gun. It's like, it's the gun meme where somebody's holding a gun to the camera. It's Tom Nook holding a gun. It says, "Give me your turnip prices." Because I'm trying to find where I can sell those turnips. And right now I have a turnip room in my house. And it's only barely enough to hold all the turnips right now. So everybody kind of has their different way of playing. I don't like to do the tarantula game, but everybody has their different way of doing it. For me, it's all about turnips. And
about turnips for one reason.
Hmm.
To get ants.
To get ants, yeah.
Because that's how you get ants, is you have to leave your turnips out. And the ants are cute, but then Dan took my ants and I went back and the ants were gone. I was so mad.
And Sia Tabiri says, "I finally got into turnips this morning." Yeah, and that's – I love, like, talking to people, going to the different groups. What's your turnips? What's your turnips? Hey, I heard you like turnips. But what I don't like, and I'm going to be downright honest, what I don't care for is, like, I read this article about how somebody set up – a security team on their island that would block the door to Nooks until you, like, left a tip that you'd, I guess, promise to give when you got, like, all this, like, crazy stuff. And I'm like, that ain't it for me. I mean, if that's how you want to play, hey, it's your game. Do what you like. But for me, like, I don't believe in tipping in Animal Crossing. In the real world, completely different. But in Animal Crossing, no. It's about the exchange of, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I
and,
had
and this person
what
has friends.
Society should be like is Animal Crossing.
You know what?
Bernie Sanders
ran on a turnip
like.
Platform. And look what happened. All right, anyway.
But I will say this. You know, I've started a Facebook Animal Crossing group that grew much bigger than I thought it was going to be. But everybody there, I have to give them credit. Everyone there has been a delight. Everyone has put out public codes for everybody. And these are the kind of people that I like to play with. And I encourage everyone just to be, you know, don't make it a burden for other people. Help each other out, you know. And then play that into real life, please. We need it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like when my turnips were going for 90, like they were selling at last week at 90, I was just like, yeah, open up, come visit. Because then I was like, yay, people will visit. And if they write on my board or they talk to my villagers, and that's reward enough for me. So, but I understand some people have a more capitalistic approach to things. Gosh, maybe I was a democratic socialist this whole time and didn't realize. I don't know.
I'll throw something out there too, Rob, because, you know, and not people, I guess, just don't actually realize this, but if you've held something in your inventory, you can order it later as long as it was DIY.
Yeah.
So that's what Gwen and I have been doing every day, is that we'll find something we're not sure if the other person has, and we order each other our music.
Well, I did that for you. You needed the meme shirt. Yeah, so I sent you the meme shirt.
And then I immediately took it over to Gwen so she could put it in her inventory for 5 seconds and I could get it back.
I'm all about that. That's cool.
And so that way we've been, you know, if someone wants something, yeah, maybe you can't pay the 64,000 bells for an arcade machine, but you can hold it for 5 seconds and save up for one for yourself.
But I will say this, and I think we're starting to bleed into our video game weeks a little bit, so I'll advance the ticker over
think?
There. But I will say this much, as far as like all that stuff goes, is that I don't really open my island to everybody because, and I think one of the big drawbacks about Animal Crossing is, surprise, surprise, Nintendo's mediocre online system, because it takes like freaking 2 minutes for somebody to get to your island and another 2 minutes for them to leave. And that can be like, let's imagine my turnips are selling for 530 one day, just imagine. And I go to Twitter and I write, hey, my island's open, my turnips are 530. People are never going to get in because every 30 seconds, bing, 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 please close the window. A person's trying to connect. And it would just be crazy. That's why I only open my island with Dodo codes so that I know who's coming. I have it controlled to a certain number. And then, like, I don't have to worry about that connecting and disconnecting message every 30 seconds. It is the most annoying thing they need to fix big time. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat talking about his experience with Animal Crossing saying, the fun part with me is that my wife is playing more than I do and we have one physical cart, so we can't play at the same time. She's unemployed, so she's playing a lot, and I get like an hour or two a night before my shops close. Well, we all play at our different pace. Like Darksoccer came to visit me this week in Animal Crossing and she's like, where's your Able Sisters? And I'm like, don't have it. I've been doing things at my pace. I'm like, I think I still need to build somebody a home. I don't know. And she was like,
"Well, my kids use it for Minecraft, and so I never get it." So
yeah, but it's just I've been playing 14 and Nier and 7 Remake and other stuff I'll talk about shortly. So it's like I've just been playing Animal Crossing at my own pace. And like I said, I'm all about the turnips. I want to have my basement, because if Dark Sakura isn't going to have a shrine to fire, then I will in my basement.
No, I have my bonfire. Once I finish getting my town all planned up, I'm going to be – well, I've got my Stonehenge, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to put fire all around my Stonehenge with my cherry trees in the background. And we also don't have any bridges or anything leading to it, so my animals can't go, you know, mess it up. So, and I have Baphomet Point. Don't forget about that, where my lighthouse is.
That's right. You know, and to be fair, I also kind of want like I don't know if I want to say a sex dungeon in the basement, but like a pervert dungeon, I think, is what I want in the basement of my house. So, you know, I'll be thinking about that, because I'm that sicko that likes to do like things you really shouldn't do in cutesy games. What can I say?
Should I order you the bondage outfit then that they have in the game?
Oh, do they have one? Yes, because today I got that human skeleton that like you could. It's like the anatomy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that would be funny.
Do you need like the actual skeleton? You know, if you poke at it, it raises its arms like it's trying to scare you.
Oh yeah, I need one of those. Send me one of those.
Okay, I can order tomorrow. So okay. Yeah, so we'll talk about that later. But right. I'll send you the bondage outfit too.
Let's talk about the rest of our gaming weeks. I mean, clearly Animal Crossing has played a big part in our weeks, just like everybody else's. Dark Sakura, would you care to continue? How was your gaming week, Animal Crossing or otherwise?
Animal Crossing, all the Animal Crossing. And actually, my lungs have been doing a lot better.
Yay.
So I've actually considered getting Yoga Master for the Switch, just to give myself, you know, a little bit more motivation to get up and do my morning yoga. So, you know, I'm not all stiff and terrible, and hopefully do that to, you know, get my breathing, back where it was. I'm, you know, like I said, it's better, but I moved like 3 bags of dirt. That I got at Target because, you know, I'm planting my apocalypse garden. And, oh, I was a mess right after that. So yeah, I'm hoping that having, like, a yoga game on my Switch will, you know, help me get back into doing my breathing exercises and all that.
Kind of sounds like it's trying to hit on that Wii Fit market that doesn't totally exist on the Switch right now. Although, I mean, there's Ring Fit, certainly, but Ring Fit doesn't really have a yoga in it. So, which was probably the most popular and well-known element of Wii Fit.
If we got a Wii Fit, though, that would be absolutely amazing. Because I think I would play the hell out of it. You know, again, just because of not being able to get out. You know, I've got free weights in the house that I could be using, but while I'm healing up and my lungs aren't as strong, doing yoga and certainly, you know, doing it in a game would probably be easier and more enjoyable.
All right. Anything else with your gaming week?
No.
All right. Then we'll go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
So this week I didn't play a ton of things. I did end up playing some Final Fantasy VII Remake, so I'm not very far in it. I'm about just an hour and a half or so into it, so I think just in the middle of Chapter 2. And I'm liking it so far. I think it's pretty amazing. Just an incredible-looking game. And I remember Nelly was going, like, is this a game? She's like, it looks so real. But yeah, it was fun. I tried to get my kids to watch because I thought it'd be interesting for them to watch, but they only have the attention span for like 5 minutes. But what else? I also played a little bit more Beat Saber. I did a little bit of Step Mania. I've been going through my song list and trying to pare down some of the songs that I have on there and try to remove duplicates that I have in folders because I just dumped like a whole bunch of collections together. So I've been going through that. And also with the, I repaired my Nintendo Switch this week. So I had drift on the 2 Joy-Cons. So I actually got the parts for my Fix-It and took them apart. The Joy-Cons replaced the analog sticks in them. And then I was having an issue where I kept saying my SD card was being removed from the system, even though it wasn't. So I took the system apart and God, the way they engineered that thing is so stupid. It's literally being held in by like a little bit of foam and the tension from the actual back of the device is pushing this connection down. And so it can come loose if you are a child and drops it on the ground. So literally all I do is push it back in the connector and then everything was fine. But the fact that it's not like held in, it's not like a ribbon cable or something that's, you know, attached in there. It's just like this little thing that's just held on by pressure. It's absolutely stupid. At least I know if it ever breaks, it's easy to replace. So I did all that this week. And then I've been just kind of getting my laptop still set up for gaming and stuff. I got an external drive reader for my 5 terabyte drive from my old laptop. I tried fixing my old one, but I think it's shot. And then I got a brand new 2 terabyte one. So I got like 8 terabytes for the storage on my PC now. It's great. And I'll put tons of games on there. So yeah, that's been my week.
Okay. Awesome. We'll enjoy filling up the 8 terabyte drive with games you'll never play.
Absolutely.
Okay. My gaming week. Let's talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake. Because I'm also playing it, and I'm on Chapter 6, so I've been.
We have it on order, by the way.
I've been, well, here's the thing. So I was supposed to get it on Tuesday because Amazon's running behind. I get a lot of my stuff from Amazon, and they're running a little behind. And I really was okay with it. But then when everybody was like, you know, getting the hype going on Twitter and all that stuff, and I was thinking about, I don't really have a lot to do this weekend. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to buy it digital. Even though, I did it. I hit the button and I bought digital, and I'm actually kind of glad I did because it's been able to fill quite a bit of time this weekend. I maybe about like 7 hours in. I don't know. I'd probably play more if I had a better attention span, but I'm very much like I sit in front of the TV for an hour, then I need to go sit in front of the computer for an hour, and then maybe I need to go like go in the backyard for just a little bit to get some fresh air or something. Like I can't really just keep staying in one place for hours and hours and hours like I used to be able to when the original Final Fantasy VII came out. But anyway, I have played through a good chunk of the game at this point. I mean, I don't know how many chapters there are, but I'm up to chapter 6. Obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything, which let's talk about that to begin with, because you might think, well, Rob, how can you spoil things because this is just a remake of Final Fantasy VII, so it's the same plot, right? Wrong. There are a lot of things that people are getting very wrong about this game, and I'm going right for it. One of them that you guys are getting really wrong, and when I say like you guys, I mean like Twitter and some of the, you know, hot takes, trademarks, so forth about the game, is the hot take that I see. I do not want to buy that game because it's only 10% of the story. You are completely going about that assessment the wrong way, period. It is not a one-for-one remake. You're thinking probably of a remaster. You're thinking of that game that you wanted when you saw that PlayStation 3 demo that rendered the opening sequence of the game in high definition all those years ago that first led people to talking about they wanted a Final Fantasy VII in HD. Let me be clear. This is not that game. This is a different game. And I think maybe part of the problem is that they called it Final Fantasy VII Remake because this is Final Fantasy Reimagined. This is Final Fantasy VII Reinvention. This is – they took the plot and they took the characters and they made a brand new game out. They made Final Fantasy 16 out of it is what they did.
This is what should have been.
Well, in a way, but you couldn't do this game on the PlayStation. Full stop.
As long as that bitch dies. As long as Aerith dies, I'm happy.
Well, and who knows? I don't think that part would be covered in this game, but I really feel like anything goes with the plot. I have heard, obviously, I want this to be a spoiler-free place. I have heard the ending is shocking, which it shouldn't be shocking if you've played through the original. So apparently they've done something. But it wouldn't surprise me because they have done all this different stuff along the way. One of the things is that they have completely fleshed out these characters who were very much, I don't want to say throwaway sidekicks, but they were not really a part of the story before. I'm speaking mainly of Jesse, Biggs, and Wedge, who are completely fleshed out, full characters. They're not playable, but I'll be damned if you're going to tell me they're not a part of the story, because they very much are in this game. Again, this is not a one-for-one of the original Final Fantasy VII, okay? What this is, think of it more like this. And I can't think of a better comparison. Maybe you guys can. Final Fantasy VII is like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. A nice two-hour movie, stands on its own. There's things people appreciate about it. Everybody loves that sequence with Pee-wee Herman as the vampire, right? There's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. Then, years later, there's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show. It goes on for 7 seasons. You know what? It's the same character, and some of the themes they explore are the exact same thing. But it's very, very different. That is Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that a fair comparison? Anyone?
I even watched the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Mm. Now you spoiled it for me.
You need to fix that.
I can see that. I can see that, except no, because I don't know.
Maybe not directly that, because, yeah, the plot of the movie doesn't really go over to the TV show, but I couldn't really think of a movie. The only other thing I could think of is that The Shining was a movie, and then they had the miniseries with Rebecca De Mornay and some other guy.
Is that more like B?
Oh, that's a good one.
We had V the miniseries, and then it tried to flesh it out as – I mean, now I'm going to tell you the TV series kind of jumped the shark a bit later.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see what the TV series was trying to do.
Ooh, MASH.
Oh, yeah, MASH is a good example.
Good one, Pod Culture. Okay. See, but a lot – see, I don't know if as many people know about – I hate to say it, but as know about MASH. I mean, let's be real. It's like the 20-year-olds may not – I mean, may not have familiarity with MASH like those of us in our 40s when the reruns were on all day long. But, yeah, but MASH is a good – if you know MASH, that's an excellent example, actually. So, anyway – I think you all kind of get what I'm saying. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, GameSpot's review had the best line. For returning fans, this isn't the Final Fantasy VII your mind remembers. It's the one your heart always knew it to be. Tiger Claw says, is the story in the Final Fantasy VII remake verbatim from the original? All the same story beats and stuff that made the original impactful? No. And I'll leave it at that. So, Tiger Claw says, remakes often do things different from the original. Stuff like origins of characters being different, the fate of certain characters being different. It's how they differentiate from the original. And I will say, and again, I don't want to spoil because I want to be very, you know, very aware that maybe not everybody's, some of you probably ordered from Amazon, haven't got the game yet. So, but if you've played the demo, which is available out there for everybody, you'll notice that the end of the demo makes something very, very explicit that was only implied in the original game and wasn't necessarily explicitly stated the way it was very clearly done at the end of the demo. For those that have played it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. For those that haven't, well, maybe that'll make you interested. I don't know. But I kind of think playing that demo will give you a good sense of the types of changes they can make to the game. For one, it'll give you a feeling of the combat, which the combat is very different, and not everybody's going to love it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, there's a classic mode that's – it's really nothing like the original battle system. I'm sorry to say. I don't know. I kind of think it's fun. I like the new battle system. I'm playing it on easy, granted, because I really wanted to focus on the story, and I kind of felt, okay, I'll do one playthrough on easy. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, this game's going to come out on PlayStation 5. Oh, that was the other reason I went digital at the end of the day. I went digital because my thought was, you know, if PlayStation 5 will play PlayStation 4 games, then hypothetically, fingers crossed, toes crossed, we don't know this for sure, but I'm hoping Sony does the right thing, and that means your digital library on PlayStation 4 will instantly unlock on PlayStation 5. So
probably.
That's my hope, anyway. I hope Sony gets that right. My thought is I'm going to play through it on easy now, and then when I inevitably have to replay it on PlayStation 5, I'll play it on either normal or hard then. So that's kind of my other thought process that went to that. But I think the battle mode is kind of fun. Like it's like an improved version of 15 to me. And I know that might make a lot of people wince because I know 15's battle system wasn't popular, but that's why I say improved version of 15 to me. Like I feel like there's more point to some of the buttons that you're mashing. And it doesn't have all that crazy teleporting stuff that really made 15 weird. That is not there. But I really like how when you do pause the battle to use fire, to use magic, like it does, it's really cool how like everything moves in like bullet time, slow motion. And that just adds to the flair this game has. This game has so much flair. And I talked about this with the demo, and there was a part of me that was like, I don't know how they can keep that going throughout the game. And there are some slower parts. Like, there are some side quests that you do in Chapter 3 that maybe don't have quite the flair that the opening of the game does. It definitely fills in some of the backstory. It makes, again, characters that were throwaway side characters in the original game have full-on plot devices in this game and so forth. So there's that. But I would say maybe the game didn't have quite that intense flair moving through those side quests and so forth, but I'm pretty impressed when you're going through the main story. There's a certain energy that this game just doesn't stop. And I'll tell you, this shouldn't be a spoiler because this is a very well-known sequence in the original game, the motorcycle sequence. It is reimagined, and it's in this game, and it's another one of those, like, they do something kind of different to it where it's like, holy shit, this doesn't fucking stop. It's awesome. Like, you know, and again, if you've played it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you know, maybe in a few more months, I'll feel a little more at ease talking about some of these spoilers openly. But yeah, I just it's got a certain energy level that doesn't stop. And the graphics and the sound music, they just like Loki said, his wife thought it was a movie. Right. I mean, it just with the camera tricks that it plays and the other, it just feels like you're really playing a movie. It's fantastic. So Fifth Dream today in chat says Biggs is Charlie Sheen circa 1986. Okay, but Charlie Sheen never had a voice as silky smooth as Gideon Emery, who really adds everything to that character.
It's so weird hearing him without a British accent.
Yeah. It's like it's, and I read a review on the game that said they couldn't unhear Balthier, and I'm like, I don't like, if I really try to make myself hear that, I will, but or Orange in Final Fantasy 14.
Because you know what? It's always for me. Huh. It's Dragon Age 2, Fenris.
Of course,
I always hear Fenris.
Of course, and if you really want to hear that, you will. But I'm able to kind of let Biggs be his own character, so it's pretty cool. So
he's cute.
Yeah, and you know, Barrett,
I like Jesse.
Barrett in the demo, you know, definitely has like kind of like that same kind of like hard edge, hard ass Barrett. But I think once you get past the demo sequence, you start to see Barrett's softer side. About why, I mean, especially when his daughter is introduced for the first time, which again, that was in the original game, and there obviously that element that Barrett has a daughter is still in this remake. And you know, you start to see kind of like more of the why is he doing what he's doing and so forth. I think they really kind of start to develop him a lot better than just like the Mr. T clone he was in the original game. They really kind of like flesh him out a lot more. And especially some of the support, like I will admit, I was never really on the Tifa bandwagon in the original game, but I really like her in this. I really, really like what they have done with her character. Because she's a strong, badass fucking woman. Like, and she's great in this game. And then they really fleshed out Jesse, Biggs, and Wedge to be their own characters. Jesse's a little, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on Jesse. But I think she means well.
I just don't like boob armor.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just like it's. I could go on and on and probably talk for 3 hours about just this game, but I'm really enjoying it, and I think this game is absolutely going to come up when we talk about end of the year lists. The one other thing I wanted to say about it is that everybody's talking about what's going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake Episode 2 or what's gonna happen there. There's a weird part of me that wonders if there's necessarily going to be one. I feel like they're going to do it just to kind of cash in on it and to get the money for it. But a game like that's going to take a long time to develop. And if this game truly stands on its own, which I fully believe it will they need to do a second game?
Well, I think it will take less time because now that they have the engine, it's more of just creating the assets for it and all the recordings and everything. Whereas a lot of the time from the initial development of this game was developing the engine that it would run in and all that. So now that they have the tech in place, I think making more content for it's not going to be that difficult.
You mean it's not just running in 15's engine? Because I think it's running in 15's engine.
I think it's different than 15.
One other thing too, just, you know, because I like to spoil things for myself before other people do it. There's going to be another.
Okay, so that tells me they left the door open for more. Okay, that's fine.
At the point where it ends, there must be more because that's only scratching the surface of the story.
Okay, interesting. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And maybe it is going to be something where, you know, Final Fantasy 13 had 13-2 Lightning Returns, and maybe, but it's, what are they going to call it? Final Fantasy 7 Remake 2. I guess we'll have to be the name of it. I don't know what they're going to call it. This would be very interesting. So.
Chapter 2, part 2.
Maybe chapter 2 is probably a better name for it, but we'll see.
Except aren't all the in-game things chapters themselves? So maybe it would be, we have volume 1, because then you have your chapters of your one book, and you have volume 2, which is, you know.
Tiger Claw in chat says, Rob, now that you've played the remake, how would you rate it? Is it better than the original? I'm not fully comfortable answering that question until I actually beat the game so I can have had the full experience of both games. But as it stands now, I'm going to find it very difficult to compare the two because I think the Final Fantasy VII original game was an amazing game for its time. But now this remake is showing us there's so much more this could be. All these people that complain that Final Fantasy VII was just really a mediocre game and didn't really stand the test of time. Here's everything this game could have been. Is almost, I feel like, the game I'm playing now. Or here, if I could go back and do it over, here's what I'd do differently. I almost feel like is the game I'm playing now. And so it's almost like apples to oranges a little bit. Or maybe not like apples to oranges, but like apples to applesauce. Like, I don't – it's just – I don't know if I'm ever going to be comfortable answering that question, because Final Fantasy VII is great for its time. And it's even a game that I would recommend as an RPG classic today. But the remake is just different. I don't know if I would say play this or that. I would say play this and that.
Can we rewind to 20-year-old Jamie for a moment?
Please.
Who did not own a PlayStation, yet owned a copy of Final Fantasy VII, playing it on her roommate's PlayStation, and, you know, the whole Knights of the Round, Quadra Magic, blah, 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 making a sandwich, you know. But I had 3¼ discs, and I had a box full of them that was nothing but Vincent fan art. Because reasons. I've beaten that game so many times. I still have a working save file where Aerith gets, you know, skewered, which is beautiful. And then it goes right into the Genova fight, which is one of my favorite pieces of music in the game too. And, you know, this was like my thing. This was one of my, it's been a while. I go through phases where I'll get something that's like my huge ass fandom. This was my Mass Effect. Back then. And I am super excited to play this one, or to, you know, have, you know, me and Dan play it together, you know, do our take turn things, whatever we do. But I think I'm going to love this as much as I love the original, because I love the characters so much. I love the story so much. And for me, I'm looking forward to drawing my own comparisons, but I think they're each going to stand alone as their own, just from the impression I've been getting from everybody.
Agree. And I think also, at a very important point about this remake, there's a lot that could have gone wrong with this remake. They could have easily fucked this game up. Easily. They didn't. And I think that deserves applause. At least the parts that I've played, they did. And even if they completely decide to take the story in a 180 or whatever, there's very little that's going to make me change my mind on that. I think there's a lot that could have gone wrong, and it really does seem like it didn't, and they've done a very good job. And it's interesting, because now it has a lot of people talking about, what about Final Fantasy VIII? Are they going to do a remake of Final Fantasy VIII? And there is a part of me that's like, no, we don't need to go back and remake all the old PlayStation games. Like, make a Final Fantasy XVI already. But there's also a part of me that's like, you know what? And I've taken a lot of shit on the show for this opinion, but it's my opinion, damn it. Final Fantasy VIII is my least favorite Final Fantasy game, save the original version of Final Fantasy XIV, which was hot garbage. Final Fantasy VIII is my least...
I don't like 12.
It's my least... See, I disagree, but that's okay. Everybody's got their own rankings. Final Fantasy VIII is my least favorite, and it's not because of the story. So for those of you that want to fight me on the story, that's not the reason. I find Final Fantasy VIII unplayable because of the junction draw and that whole battle system, how the monsters level up with you, which was the worst part of Final Fantasy II, and just everything in that battle mechanics, everything in that system sucks, and I hate it, and I can't play the game because of it. But now I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If they go back and do Final Fantasy VIII, then they get to keep what's good, the story, and they get to redo what's not good, the battle system. So from that perspective, bring it on. You know what? This Final Fantasy VIII hater says, I would like to see that, actually. Yes, remake VIII. Do it. Because maybe that's actually going to help in a lot of ways with some of my own issues about Final Fantasy VIII. So anyway. And yes, I realize so many people have their opinions on Final Fantasy VIII, and that's fine. SG100 Matt in chat says, this is a perfect example of people will forget the endless delay if the game is done well. Poorly done, delayed games become the butt of jokes forever. Kudos to that remark. And this game, again, with all the flair and the strong art direction in this game, and just how this game dances as you play it, you see where 5 years worth of work went into this game. Like, you see it. This game clearly took a long time to make. Anyway. Again, I could talk for 3 hours about the Final Fantasy VII Remake, but I should probably move on with other headlines. Other games I've played this week, I've continued on Final Fantasy XIV. My dancer hit level 80, yay. And I did play more Nier Automata until the VII Remake came out, and I actually got as far as I got further. I got past that amusement park level, and I got to do the boss at the end of the amusement park. Again, I'm trying to not super spoil, although that game's been out a little bit longer, but that was a really hard boss at the end of that. So I didn't – yeah, just – That game is very challenging, but I talked highly about that game last week. I love the kind of like hybrid shooter slash action game that Nier gives, and y'all were right on Nier. I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again. I missed out, so I should go back. I will go back and finish Nier once I'm done with Final Fantasy VII Remake. So, and then now somebody is saying, but Persona, Rob, you got to finish Persona too. Yeah, that's another one of those games where I feel like, yeah, I really need to revisit that, because that's another one of those games where, like, I feel like you all are telling me this and I've been resisting. Well, I've been resisting. I just haven't had the time to play it. And I'll probably end up falling in love with that one, too. So we'll see. So, all right. Let's move on. We have a lot of gaming news we want to cover tonight and get to that. So let's start off with Loki with some gaming news.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Xbox event that they did. Well, not event, but like they had their little stuff that they show off the new games coming out. So there was actually some pretty cool, interesting things here. So one of them, of course, is a game called Grounded, which is a survivor horror game, or not horror game, survival game. But imagine a survival game set in the universe of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So basically, you're shrunk down to the size of tiny little, I guess, microscopic characters, and then of course bugs and plants and everything are giant, and you're kind of like in a backyard or something.
It's so Sim Ant. I love that game.
But but the ants are much, you know, the insects are much bigger than you are, so I'm not sure what your scale would be, but kind of similar to like, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something like that.
Nah, I get it.
So they have that. What I thought was interesting, though, because, you know, there's people that are deathly afraid of spiders, so they have an arachnophobia setting that you can put on so that you don't encounter spiders, which I thought was interesting. So they showed off that. They also were talking about a game called Forza Street, which is headed to Android and iOS. And so that's kind of interesting.
Because they couldn't just let Mario Kart be. Somebody at Microsoft was like, how do we get a piece of that?
Yeah.
No, I'm all about it. I'm for it.
And then they talked a little bit about, of course, Minecraft Dungeons is going to be releasing at the end of May on the 26th. Journey to the Savage Planet. Is getting an expansion called Hot Garbage, which I thought was hilarious, and that's coming out this week on the 15th. Then, of course, they talked a little bit about Gears Tactics, some of the new characters in that. Talked a little bit about Hotline Miami Collection, which is going to be coming out on Xbox One at some point. Atomic Crops, that's coming out on May 28th. And then they were talking a little bit about this Sea of Thieves is getting another update on April 22nd called the Ships of Fortune, which has like an expanded reputation system. They have overhauled the competitive mode and new cosmetics, as well as cats. That's, you know, of course,
important.
That's the most important thing.
Yes. And then, of course, a little bit about Games Pass. Journey to the Savage Planet, Football Manager 2020. We're going to be coming to Games Pass for Xbox One and PC actually last week. And then Mistover and Stranger Things 3, the game, are coming to PC Game Pass sometime in the future, as well as the Human Fall Flat expansion. Thermal, Avulsia Chronicles, and Yakuza Kiwami are going to be available on both platforms as well soon. And then they touched on Xbox Series X, seeing the games can be stored on an external hard drive, but they'll need to be moved to internal memory or the official expansion drives in order to play them. I think this is kind of similar to what they were talking about with even the PlayStation 5, saying that, you know, those drives have to be of a certain spec in order to be able to run them efficiently, to be able to load everything how you're supposed to. So I think that's probably going to be similar with the Xbox, where you need a fast enough drive to run.
I wonder if it's like, I don't know how, like it's an archival storage. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had a workplace or something where like emails that are more than 6 months old go to an archive and they take a lot longer to load because basically you're going back, retrieving it and bringing it over to the current one. So maybe that's kind of like what this is. It's like, it allows you to have a place to store the game so you don't have to, like, download it again if you're worried about bandwidth issues or things like that. But it basically has to, like, bring it over and copy it back onto the drive so you can play it from the super fast SSD drive. Maybe. That's kind of what it sounds like. Like, it's like mm-hmm. literally a localized backup storage type of thing.
And then, of course, they were also saying that several countries in Western Europe, Project X Cloud as well, and Dragon Age Inquisition Unraveled 2 and Sims 4 are now playable through that service.
Yeah, I still want to check out X Cloud, so hopefully I'll get to it at some point. But Xbox Game Pass is continuing to be a great feature. I'm really happy to see what Microsoft's been doing with that. I've been getting a lot of my value out of that during this quarantine period. So yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to see what's on the PC one because that sounded interesting.
Yeah, and I did do the preload for Minecraft, which is so weird, preload, but that's what it is, for Minecraft Dungeons, because that get like it's Minecraft, but it's Diablo, and I like both of those things, especially Diablo, so I'm really curious about that game. So I was.
Yeah, I'll probably pick that up as well. I do want to play that, so we'll have to play together then.
Hey, there's a Minecraft we'll play together for sure, absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. All right. So yeah, good job by Microsoft this week on like a little bit of an update during this weird time. And yeah, they were all, you know, like Major Nelson was in his house. Phil Spencer was in his house. Everybody was kind of at home. Kind of looked like that episode of Saturday Night Live if you saw that this week. This is very strange. This is different. But it's
well, I watched a lot of clips of late shows. And so everybody's been kind of doing that. I don't know, kind of weird as well. Hopefully they kind of expand out, just making fun of the usual like stuff that we have to deal with. I don't know. It's okay.
The weird one for me is that guy on CNN who actually has COVID, who's still working, because it kind of go. I mean, and he's doing it from his basement and everything, so it's not like he's putting anybody else at risk. But like, you're not supposed to go to work when you're sick. And you're going to work. I mean, yes, you're working out of your basement, but like rest, dude. I don't know. That's the only one that's like a little weird to me, because it kind of goes against the message of you're not supposed to work when you're sick. And I get that he's in his own house and he's not putting anybody else at risk. And maybe it's what he wants to do to take his mind off it. But it does send a little bit of a conflicting message. So I think he shouldn't. But okay. So anyway, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about this story again. And you might think, Rob, haven't you talked about this before? And yes, this topic has come up on the show before, especially in this current situation. It has to do with coronavirus / COVID-19 and the World of Warcraft pandemic experience. Why are we talking about it again? Because it hit the mainstream press again this week, and it's actually out of the Washington Post. So it's a pretty big, you know, mainstream media coverage about what's going on here. And it was talking a little bit about, and it was actually written, I think the person that wrote the article for the Washington Post is like somebody who, I don't think they're a doctor, but they know a lot about like the technological like ends of things and so forth, and have a lot of insight to what is true in that scenario and how that kind of plays out with what's going on with COVID-19. And so a lot of the Washington Post article kind of talked about the Corrupted Blood incident, which I think a lot of you are familiar with at this point. Long story short, there was a raid boss who would poison you, but people figured out how to basically take that poison from the boss fight and take it into the real world, so to speak. Not the real world, but you know what I mean, like the towns and so forth in Warcraft, so that that poison would spread throughout the towns and so forth.
And it killed NPCs too.
It did. It would kill NPCs. It would play regular PCs of a different level and so forth. Ironforge and Orgrimmar, they were overrun within hours. NPCs would get it and then pass it on to other players and so forth. So kind of interesting, all the parallels there. And there was even a paper that the article refers to that was published in 2007 that talks about their findings and so forth. But what I find is interesting about this is some of the like kind of summaries that this whole thing makes. And so they reached out for some comment about that article and the current research around COVID-19. So the doctor was that did this. Let's see. It was Nina Pfefferman, who played World of Warcraft at the time of the incident, has some comments about that on the current COVID-19 situation, saying what I do is I study all the aspects of infectious disease outbreaks that help us prepare for pandemics. We really saw the full gamut of behaviors we see in the real world reflected in the player characters during Corrupted Blood. There are games where you are encouraged to behave in a way that you would never behave offline. You really have to know the game, play it, and understand the culture so you can make these kind of determinations that, yeah, this is a pretty good proxy. And then this actually was a quote from the other doctor that was a colleague of Nina Pfefferman's, Dr. Eric Lofgren, who said I'm doing this on the fly here. There's two doctors. They're quoting back and forth. But Nina Pfefferman said this, and I thought this was a great quote here. It's not just that people were role-playing. People were being themselves. And I thought that was a very kind of like harrowing quote about the whole situation, is that in World of Warcraft, you know, although there are role-playing servers and so forth where people can go role-play as another character, the reason why this disease was spreading and so forth was not the result of somebody role-playing or wanting to do something different. They were doing what they wanted to do. And I think they're drawing some parallels in this situation to what's going on in the COVID-19 situation, where we all know, we've seen it in the news, how some people are not respecting what's going on with social distancing right now and feeling that they are above this virus, which does not discriminate against people based on whatever factor you can think of. And, you know, especially today being a day of religious notoriety for some, you know, you've all seen the news about how some people don't care. They believe it's not going to affect them. And we'll see how that plays out, I suppose. But it's just very interesting in those comparisons that people were not role playing. They were just being themselves.
Dicks.
What's that, Darsakra?
They were being dicks.
They were being dicks. Yeah. And people in the real world can be dicks. We heard about, there was the guy in New Jersey who they had to arrest because he was going out well knowing he had the virus and like purposely infecting other people. Or the people that are recording TikTok videos of themselves coughing on all the produce at the supermarket going, I've got COVID. And even though they're lying about it, like, fuck them, you know?
Yeah, they've actually arrested quite a number of people, though, for doing that, as well as, you know, those pastors who are like, we're going to hold services. Yeah, well, fuck you. Or actually, the real heroes have been the landlord that changed locks on one of those churches here in Sacramento.
Yeah, that was, you know, as much as landlords have been taking a beating on a lot of other things, like that is landlord done well in that circumstance. Zet in chat says, yep, going to be a spike in about a week. Yeah, gosh, I hope not, but you're probably right. Tiger Claw says, or people who are price gouging. Another excellent example, and that happens in MMOs a lot. People will buy up the things they know are going to be in demand for the next patch. This just happened in Final Fantasy XIV, which is a game I play a lot of, materia, because these relic weapons just came out and they have all these materia slots. So people were buying up the materia for cheap, then the patch drops and they're reselling it high. And that's what people do in the real world, too. You all heard the stories about the people soaking up the sanitizer and the toilet paper and stuff. I know y'all saw that one guy who had the warehouse
full. Or the politicians selling their stuff.
Yes. Yes, that too. So it's interesting, and I thought it was worthy bringing up again, even though we've talked about the pandemic. I thought that, especially hearing that from a doctor, that people were behaving in this game just the way they would in real life. And seeing these types of comparisons, like, you would think, oh, no, people wouldn't troll people like that. And then it's like, fuck, but they are, though. They are. And so, yeah, there's a lot you can learn from what happened in World of Warcraft. So SSGO100 Matt says, if you don't believe in this virus or think it's a joke, come to New York City. It's not great and it's sad. And just sorry, I almost get choked up just thinking about it. You know, I was just there in New York City. And obviously, you know, like, I was there 6 months ago is nothing compared to like being there right now and living amongst it. But just know I am thinking of y'all, and I love that city and I love the people, and just, you know, again, but that is, as they say, just the first place. You're going to see this type of thing hit other cities, and especially in these places where people can't seem to follow the goddamn rules. And I'm just very thankful, whereas it was extraordinarily frustrating maybe to be the first state where they said, nope, shut it down, no restaurants, no bars and so forth. Maybe it was a little fresh. But now in retrospect, I think most people in California and the San Francisco Bay Area and the greater San Francisco Bay Area are very thankful for that right about now. I think we're all very thankful for that. So anyway, I don't want to speak out of turn, but anyway. All right. So my thoughts really go out to you guys in New York City, and just know that I love you, and keep that distance, but hold through. You're all in it. We're all in it together, and we'll all hopefully get through this. So
stay the fuck home.
Yeah, I am really happy that California sent ventilators there, because they saw the need was lessening here, at least for right now, and they sent that, and that is great. I'm so proud of my state for doing that. So.
Well, Rob, we are a nation state, according to our governor. So
that was anyway, I don't want to get political. I'll just say that was a very interesting power play. And although I know this is a weird thing to say, but like, you guys know, my mom passed a few years ago. And in many ways, I'm so thankful she didn't have to see this, because she was such a worrier. This situation would have been so terrible for her mental health that, like, I'm thankful she doesn't have to go through this. But the reason why I bring it up is that she loved Gavin Newsom, and that would be the one thing that would be like, she would be up and watching his press conferences every single day. I tell you that.
Political fangirling?
Yeah, she was. She said she was going to write him in on the presidential ballot one year. I don't know if she actually did it, but
I love your mom.
I miss her every day. But anyway, we won't go further down that. Let's change the topic quickly and talk about a different story. Dark Sakura, more gaming news.
So, in other news, we are getting more information about the PlayStation 5 in the form of its new controller. DualShock? Screw that. We have the DualSense. And I'm looking at this thing, holding my hands up, like, at scale for, you know, using distance and everything. And it doesn't look as uncomfortable as people are saying it might. You know, it kind of makes me think of a Saturn controller, a little bit of a Saturn, like almost like the Saturn dual analog a bit. And it's not quite a boomerang. So I'm just saying.
Just real quick. I'm sorry, Jamie. I'm so glad you're making those comparisons and keeping it old school, because Twitter instantly lit up with, oh, it's Microsoft. They're stealing from Microsoft. It's Microsoft's controller. And I'm going like, what? What? You know, the D-pad and the analog aren't even in the same fucking place. And if anything,
right?
It's shaped more like a Nintendo Switch Pro controller. I do not see the Microsoft comparison whatsoever. Like,
and to be honest, I really would, I'm looking at the back of it as well, at the curving on it, it actually seems like it would be quite comfortable to hold.
Yeah.
You know, I can see where my fingers would fit, you know, holding the back behind it. I can see where my thumbs would fit. It looks like it could be a pretty good controller if this is the design they stick with. But at any rate, and I am, honestly, I think it's about damn time that they went to a different design. Although, again, though, with the DualShock, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The DualShock was, pretty good controller. Although I have to say,
it's not that different. All things considered, yeah.
Well, and you know the problem I have with my wrist, I can actually, though, hold my shift Joy-Cons in their little cradle without a lot of pain. So, but going back.
I'm sorry. I think the thing that's weirding people out about the controller is the bra. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look at that black shape, like the odd black against white. The black looks like a bra, and the little
it's more of a tank top.
Those little analog controllers are the boobies. But it's a bra. But anyway, okay. Whatever Rorschach shape you see in that controller, I think that's like the white against black.
Well, we all know you love boobs, Rob.
I do, but that's the weird conflicting thing for some people. But I also say, in the since the PlayStation 2 era, and probably before that, Dreamcast, when has there ever been just one first party color? You know, there's going to be other colors. So if the white on black bugs you that bad, just there'll be others. Anyway, sorry, Dark Soccer, I don't mean to interrupt, but I had to.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, it's called the DualSense, not DualShock 5. It was announced this past Tuesday. It has some different features like haptic feedback, adaptive triggers, and a built-in microphone, which is interesting because, I mean, gosh, you know, reading about the built-in microphone kind of makes me think back to the old Famicom controllers.
I thought Pole Voice from Zelda.
Pole Voice, exactly, yes. Exactly. So at any rate, it also is getting rid of the share button from the DualShock 4. Supposed to be replacing it with something different. But the good thing about haptic feedback, as opposed to just having like rumble, especially, you know, think of it in terms of like, say, using your iPhone or, you know, my Apple Watch, for example, how the feedback is a little bit different. Like, for example, when I do my Breathe app, I get a different, you know, sensation for doing my breathing. And I think it's going to be great. We're going to be able to get all kinds of different levels of sensation from that. They also have the adaptive triggers and the R2 buttons. So you get tension, like, you know, the example from Nishino, who is a senior vice president of platform planning and management at Sony Interactive Entertainment. He's saying that you can feel the tension of your actions, like when drawing a bow to shoot an arrow. So what they're replacing that share button with is a create button. So they don't have much in the way of information about that, but they said it'll come out. They want to create epic gameplay content. That's a direct quote, those three words. So then, as far as that microphone, they're doing it so that you can chat with your friends without a headset for jumping into a quick conversation. But they're saying that if you're going to have like long-term chat, then you want to use a headset. It does still have that light bar, but it's now hugging around, the left and right sides of the touchpad. And the buttons are now, you know, monochrome instead of multicolored. It's using like those clear buttons with the gray icons on top of it. And it does have a microphone mute button from the appearance of it. So, there's an update very recently that says that the DualSense controller will have a built-in 3.5mm headphone jack.
Oh, wow.
So it's still gonna have that. They confirmed that on Twitter.
That's my favorite part of the DualShock 4.
Yeah, that's kind of nice that they're putting that technology right in there. Cool.
And, the other thing, too, is that I think it's going to do its charging, I think, with a USB. Yeah, DualSense charges with USB-C with the port located on the top of the controller.
Cool.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. Some comments from chat. Yeah, Tiger Claw says, I bet the built-in microphone will be used so that when you plug in a regular headphone, you can just voice chat with the controller itself. Yeah, Sony actually confirming that's pretty much what it's for. It's kind of interesting. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tinfoilers that don't want their controller always listening to them, but I guess there is a mute button on it, and I guess you could always put tape over it if you don't like it. I don't know.
I want pew-pew mode where you can just say pew, pew, pew and have a shoot.
You never know. YYR says haptic feedback. Ugh, why do they have to put that nonsense in everything? I don't know. I love
haptic feedback.
I dig it in the phone, although sometimes they overdo it. Some games and some things really overdo it on that. But I kind of dig like the way they use it on phone, and I'm excited to see how that translates to, because obviously on the trigger buttons, that's going to be very different than the phone, right? That's going to be, you know, in a different kind of feeling. So I'll give it a shot. Sounds interesting.
Well, there's, you know, the big thing about haptic feedback that I think is absolutely beautiful, especially as we're dealing more with accessibility these days. Like, I was reading a post from Sturlock on Twitter not long ago about being able to play Animal Crossing without being sighted. And a lot of that comes in with, you know, the sound effects. Like, the sound design in Animal Crossing is tremendous, but with haptic feedback, you know, you have a better idea for, you know, say that you are getting the footsteps near you. You know how sometimes, depending on the floor, you can feel them, or someone breathing, and you might get just like a little subtle rumble when someone's breathing in the room with you. You know, or, you're, say, climbing, like, a rope in your game, and you get the feeling of the tension of the rope. Like, have you ever been on a rope when it's about to snap?
Mm.
Or pulled something that's about to snap?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get that tension in it. Imagine having feedback when you're playing a game that's just, you know, and for those of us who have, I'd say, full access to our senses, you know, think about the immersion that you're going to get with something like that. But I'm more thinking in terms of our friends who need more accessibility. Yeah. And I think it'll be great for them.
And YYR is conceding that point in chat, saying, see, I hate haptic feedback on my phone. First thing I did was turn it off. But yeah, I get that. It does make some things more accessible, and that is very good. Mish in chat says, I usually turn haptic off because it messes with the nerves in my hands. So yeah, it just kind of might depend on you and your body if this is something that is going to work for you or not work for you. I also wanted to address this point because I thought this was when we talk about that create button, YYR says, if YouTubers are creators, what does that make the people actually creating games? Artists, in my opinion. But that's my answer. Maybe yours is different.
I think this is our difference between a profession like a pâtissier and a home baker.
Or a pastry chef.
Well, that's what a pâtissier is.
Yes, I know. For those that may not know, yes. Anyhow.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments on the DualSense controller?
It purred.
Oh, and then I will say this. I think Loki had a story on this probably about 2 months ago where there was like a patent or something that had been filed on this. So we kind of knew this haptic thing was coming. So, you know, for those that don't always like us covering the rumors and the unverified, sometimes where there is smoke, there is fire. So we knew some of these things a couple months ago, or at least we had a –
I don't know if it was a patent. They were just some of the features that were going to come to the controller. They just didn't show us what the controller looked like yet.
I felt like there was some type of tech specification or something, but whatever. I know we talked about the haptic thing a couple months ago, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right, let's move on to the next story. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of cool. So everybody's doing their part to try to help the 19 situation. You have folding at home, you know, allowing you to contribute in that sense to trying to find a cure. Well, now Borderlands 3 is kind of jumping in on that as well. They have a thing called Borderlands Science. It's a game that you can play within Borderlands 3 through in the infirmary in Sanctuary 3, which is a spaceship in the game. So what it allows you to do, it's actually kind of like a block matching game. And apparently the puzzle game, the way it works, it's basically allowing you to correct millions of small computer errors that arise as scientists try to map microbiomes of the human gut. And apparently doing this will allow them to better understand or have a better understanding of the human body, which in turn benefits research in the conditions like obesity, diabetes, and even depression.
How does that work? Is that you actually playing the game is doing that? Or is it that the game is so low, doesn't tax so many resources on your system that it actually uses some other resources in the background to do that other part?
So what I think it is it's basically like the computer does the matching, and then anything that it can't figure out, it's allowing a human to kind of look at to try to figure stuff out.
Okay.
You know, the game itself, it's kind of interesting looking. It's it does look like just like kind of like a block matching game, sort of. I'm just trying to see like actually how you match stuff together. I mean, I don't know.
Is it a match three or is it a dark mark? Yeah, it's interesting. SHO and Hunter Matt in chat says, oh, how nice of Gearbox to come out with this feature after hosting their employees on those performance bonuses. Yeah, that's quite the retort. Although, to be fair, it was probably those employees who actually made this feature in the game. So, the other issue needs to be addressed a little more at the top of the food chain, I believe. So, anyhow.
Right.
But I think that, that story aside, I love these kind of like gamers doing good and kind of like harnessing the power of games to do these other things. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it is, it's a little bit, I mean, it is still like a match three type, but it's a little bit different. Arrows that you have to basically insert at the bottom of your row to kind of move those rows up to match three, and then it breaks them apart. So it's a little different, but it's interesting. And I guess with that, you also get, of course, you know, weapons and stuff out of that. you earn the in-game currencies.
All right. Well, we'll have to check that out. Or you'll have to check it out. I don't know in Borderlands 3 yet. I'll probably
I haven't played Borderlands 3 in a while.
Check that out.
It's been on sale a lot.
I'll have to look into it, especially now it's off the Epic Store and it's available in more places, so we'll see. So all right.
Yes, that's true.
Well, anyhow, moving on for now, let's talk about Final Fantasy XIV, a game I do play a lot of. COVID-19 has had an impact on Final Fantasy XIV's development. Final Fantasy XIV has been on a pretty, you know, almost like clockwork its release schedule. It's like they go X many weeks, there's a patch, then there's another patch, and then there's the expansion. Like, everything is almost like clockwork, which actually some people kind of criticize 14 about, is that its patch cycle almost gets too predictable. Like, you always, it's going to be a dungeon here and a raid here, and it's, they don't tend to break that predictability a lot. Well, the situation of what's going on in the real world is causing some things to get pushed back. Game director, producer Naoki Yoshida put a update to the community this week about what's going on, saying, "We are terribly sorry for the disappointment this may cause our players, as we know you look forward to new patches. However, it's also important to prioritize the physical and mental health of our development team, without whom we would never be able to release the quality updates and features you expect from Final Fantasy XIV, so we ask for your understanding as we adjust our schedule in accordance with the situation." So basically talking about that this most recent patch, most of the development was done for the 5, because they just released a 5.25 patch. That was pretty much done right before they released, or right before all this, you know, work at home and all that kind of disrupted in Japan. So now this is going to push some things back. So they're basically saying 5.3 was going to come out in June. It probably is going to miss that date due to the situation, what's going on. So, you know, and he's got graphic designing teams in Asia, North America, Europe, and all over. So basically the game is going to have its content delayed for a month or two. And really quite an explicit apology there from Yoshida to, as somebody who's been playing Final Fantasy XIV ever since the Realm Reborn Alpha, let me say, it's okay. We completely understand. Like, it's really fine. Like, do what the team has to do to take care of themselves and so forth. And it's if things slip a month or two, it's okay. It's sad that FanFest may or may not happen in November. I mean, I know that's a ways out. We'll see where the state of the world is at that point. But it's really okay. I understand there's other priorities right now, and there's plenty of things to do in Final Fantasy XIV. And you know what? If I get burned out on it, I've got like a backlog a mile high of other games I need to be catching up on anyway, so it's fine. So anyhow, I thought that was a very nice letter for them to write, and I was kind of like, they really don't owe us that. Thought it was very nice that they did, but they didn't have to. All right, let's move on. Dark Soccer, are you back? Okay, I know she went
in. Yeah, sorry. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm back.
That's okay. Would you like to go ahead and do the next story, or want me to come back to you?
I can do the next story.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye. You know, we've kind of gotten off, especially with all the COVID news and everything, about the protests in Hong Kong, the Free Hong Kong protests. And of all places for the protest to find a new home in, it's an Animal Crossing. So since people can't go to the street, protesting in force is not physically safe. People are going into an unregulated area to do so, and that is Animal Crossing. So they are putting up signs, you know, you can do your patterns, and you can actually do nice big patterns that you can lay out like as big mats on the ground, you know, like people normally do paths. Some people have signs in their houses. Their characters are wearing gas masks and privacy masks and doctor's masks and, you know, whatever things that can hide their face, you know, as a version of what they would be doing in real life. And putting the information out there and reposting it to Twitter or wherever they need to, having pictures of people they've lost in the struggle, people who are important to the protest. And since, you know, they're wanting to, and actually this is a quote that one of the students involved in this said, and I'm just going to read it verbatim. "This is also a way for us to remind people not to forget what happened in the past 8 months. Not everyone is open to political stuff. Animal Crossing is a good way to promote our mission to those who are politically apathetic." So, keep going. you know, do it where you can. I think it's beautiful.
Now, I believe there was a follow-up or something. Animal Crossing, I believe, has been banned in China, and I think some of it has, like, and it wasn't originally, and it just kind of went into effect this past week. I think this stuff might have something to do with it. I mean, obviously, they're neither confirming nor denying, but one can draw a pretty substantial conclusion from what history has shown us in this situation. So, Questbuster says, just a week or so ago, there was news about how Animal Crossing had a big launch in China and people started using it to recreate scenes, including COVID checkpoints. And now, mm-hmm. just recently, Animal Crossing was pulled. Yeah. So,
I hope all these people have physical copies.
Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting? Because you can't really pull it now that it's out there. I mean, you can stop it from being sold again, but as you all know, that just drives demand to the product up even higher.
And take
right?
take your system offline so yeah. it can't, you know, pull a PT.
Yeah, I realize China's a very different society and they have different ways of doing things, but I still feel like once it's out there, it's out there, you know. So
people are gonna find a way.
They will. So all right, well, let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
Let's yep. see. So let's talk a little bit about Stadia. So Stadia, of course, you may know or may have are going to be hearing that Stadia Pro has gone free for 2 months. So I'm assuming that they did, of course, with the whole everybody having to be home for the whole COVID-19 stuff. So they said, Google's basically said in their blog, hey, video games can be a valuable way to socialize with friends and family when you're stuck at home. So we're giving gamers in 14 countries free access to Stadia for 2 months. And that's from Phil Harrison. And so basically with that, you can access Stadia Pro. You don't necessarily need a Stadia controller or Chromecast, but you can, you know, I think use your controllers and stuff like that. You do need a Gmail account, though, in order to be able to participate in that. And then, of course, it comes with some free games as well. And they have, Destiny and Grit and stuff like that. So is this something that you're going to jump back in you've already done your free one?
You know what's funny? I wrote some tweets about it because I was like, I can't figure out how to reactivate this because I was on Pro thanks to the friend code thing. Because Bobby had given me his friend code, and so I had it for 3 months, and then I remembered to cancel it before the 90 days ran out so that I didn't get charged for another month. Because as much as I thought it was fine, I never really intended to buy any more games on the service. I was really just playing the free ones that came with Pro. So I didn't really see the need to keep it and keep paying $10 a month for games that I kind of felt like there was more on something like Xbox Game Pass I wanted to play. But I was like, all right, well, if they're giving it away free for another 2 months, maybe I'll go back and try it again. Because I don't dislike Stadia. I think from a tech perspective, it's actually pretty impressive. And I talked about this when I talked about playing the Stadia before. It's like interacting with a YouTube live. And it works pretty darn well. And so I think it is a piece of technology worth checking out. My only concern is, and I haven't gone in there, so I don't know how this one is set up, but is this the gotcha gym membership thing where they get you to sign up for so many days free and then, oh, your credit card is on file, which with Google, it probably is already on file. If you've ever bought anything through Google, they have your credit card info already. If you forget to cancel, are you going to get charged at the end of the 60 days? Again, I don't know how this one is set up, so I don't want to accuse Google of doing something they're not doing.
Yes. So here's what the way it's says.
You're cutting out a little bit, Loki. It says what?
Sorry. So it says anybody that signs up for Google Stadia Pro will get access to all the games. It says if you're already a Stadia Pro member, you won't be charged for the next 2 months. After that, Stadia Pro is $9.99 a month, but you can opt out of your subscription anytime. So yes, it is the, hey, sign up now for free, but remember to cancel it before those 2 months are up. Otherwise, we're going to charge you $9.99.
If I'm understanding this that way, then I actually think this is an incredibly shitty thing that Google did, because they're using this situation to get people on their product. If I'm understanding it that way, that you have to cancel yourself after 60 days, or gotcha, you're going to renew at $9.99 a month. then I kind of think that's really shitty of Google to use this situation
it is,
to do.
It is what they're doing. Is
so.
I just that's don't business think as usual want. For a lot of subscriptions.
It is. It is. And yeah, so with that being said, I'm not like all I'll say is the technology is worth it. But please, if you do decide to do it, immediately set yourself a calendar reminder at 55 days out to decide if you really want it or not. I will say this. Unlike a lot of gyms and that stuff, when it comes to like gyms, you have to like call somebody or like cable. You got to call somebody and they're going to try to talk you into staying. I will give Google credit with this. Canceling is you just do it online. You click a button, done. Okay. So that part is super easy. So I will say that you don't have to interact with anybody. You're not going to get pressured into staying or anything like that. But just be warned. Ain't nothing really free in this world, I guess. So, all right. Well, so make your own decision on if that's for you. You know, again, from the technology perspective, I think it is worth checking out, but please set yourself a calendar reminder at 55 days to evaluate if you really want it. Yeah, YYR in chat says, strike through. Don't be evil / strike through. Yeah, that part. All right. Moving on to how business is being affected on different sides of the ocean. The ESRB apparently still going amongst what's going on with the coronavirus and COVID is that there is no delay right now in assigning game ratings, or at least that's what they're saying. I imagine most of that is still working from home. From what I recall of the ESRB, I don't think they're actually playing a lot of the games. You kind of have to fill out a packet, and they kind of assign the rating based on the packet. And it's assumed that you did that in good faith, because if they find out you didn't do that in good faith, such as what happened with things like Oblivion and Grand Theft Auto 4 with the hot coffee mod and all that stuff, that's when things get dicey with the ESRB. But they are still going. They are still doing ratings and so forth. Whereas the CERO, or is it pronounced CERO? I'm not sure. But they have temporarily closed in Japan due to what's going on in that situation. So there are no ratings currently being assigned right there. That could cause a little bit of a backlog and may impact some of the game releases. I don't know what's going to come of that there. But that is a little bit of a difference of what's going on over there in that situation. I don't know if they're actually playing the games or what happened in that scenario. So, all right. Well, let's go back to a simpler time. Dang it. We're going to go back to when games weren't rated at all. Actually, I'm not sure this selection is from that period of time, but we're still going to go back in time at least 10 years and visit a classic game. Every week on this show, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and says, "Hey, brats, instead of playing these modern newfangled remakes, why don't you go back and play the D-makes of yesteryear?" Dark Sakura.
D-make. This was top notch when it came out.
It was. This is much more than 8-bit. This is a title from the CD and DVD era. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
This classic game is Project Justice, which, like, how have I not done this yet? I mean, I actually had to go check multiple things to see if I, you know, had even remotely done it. So, as it was called in Japan, it was Moro Justice Gakuen, which basically burned Justice Academy. The previous before was Shidi's Justice Gakuen, which is private Justice Academy. So, it is a 3D fighting game that came out, released from Capcom. It's a sequel to Rival Schools United by Fate. And which was, you know, first released as an arcade game in 2000 and ported to the Dreamcast in 2001. I'm fortunate enough to have been able to play the arcade machine, because they had it at SVGL. Remember Sunnyvale Golfland?
I do.
I remember whenever we weren't doing that DDR tournament that was inside there, because I was doing Perfect Attack at that one. I was over there playing Project Justice. That was the one where Jessica and I switched out in platform shoes. Remember we said we were gonna we did a Perfect Attack wearing platforms, which was pretty fun.
I do remember that, and I'm stepping away for just a moment. Sorry.
Okay. So at any rate, Project Justice is to this day probably one of my favorite fighting games. As I love the Rival Schools, this one is totally, you know, for me, just really goes there with it. So it is still a team fighter, but you have teams of three instead of two, so you get extra team up attacks that you can use, but another one called a party up, so that you would initiate by pressing any three attack buttons together. And it is a three-person attack that relates to whatever the school that character comes from. You also have an additional, your additional partner will also let you cancel an opponent's team-up special by putting in a team-up of their own. So you have like a different short fighting sequence between one character from one team. And if whoever gets the first hit in will, be the winner of that one. And then it switches back to the main fight. So you have a bigger meeting, also 12, that's five levels instead of the nine from rival schools. The party up attack uses all five levels. Team ups are two, and any attempts to cancel cost one level. Also carrying over from the first game, Project Justice for the Dreamcast in Japan has a character creation mode that allows you to create your own fighter that can be used in all the modes except for single player. But it's packaged as a board game, which you do during an inter-school festival instead of like the dating sim like the first rival schools. You also... and actually, I have the Japanese version, so I got to do this. It was pretty fun. And you can also get, like, sub-characters that you can unlock through this mode. You still have, your heroes that are in the game. And a few things that have changed. You've got, extra, some of the other characters. When you have new people hinted at, like in the rival schools, revolution, or I should say, Shinichi Justice, when right now I forgot what it was called, the Evolution Justice, which I don't have too much money for that. But basically, things have gone back to normal in this, and then there's a group called Reverse Society that comes back in, so they have to fight again. We have a new character, Kuro Kirishima. Momo, I always mispronounce it, Karuizawa, who is like this pretty violin player person. You also have, the leader of the Gedo gang, Daigo, who would peripherally a character in the first game, being mind controlled. So you have like mind control. And then you also have like a Batsu doppelganger called Vatsu, trying to, pin it all on Batsu. So you got all kinds of different stuff. You even have they even go all out with, like, your swimmer character, and you can play as the school president and everything. It's pretty fun. But again, one of my absolute favorite fighting games out there. There are people who didn't like it, and those people are wrong. Famitsu gave it a 33 out of 40. A lot of people, it got kind of an average review, a higher end of average. But you know what? The game is fun. That's the important thing about it. It, it's got that goofiness that the first one, and it was friends of mine who did the localization on the first rival schools, and I think that we had just that same heart that went into the original localization go into this one. They kept a lot of the Japanese dialogue. The translation is like if you listen to what people say in the game and you know enough to follow the conversation, like, oh, I see what they went there in this localization. That's fully not what they said. It's always fun. I cannot state enough how beautiful this game is, and we need to make it trend Rival Schools 3.
Make it happen.
We need to make it happen. We need, I'm trying to think where they could go, because we had Shiryu's Justice Gakuen and then had Moru Justice Gakuen. What can they do that's even more than that? Like, maybe Hot-Blooded Justice Gakuen? Or, we already have Burning. We do. don't know. But anyway, the game is great. If you haven't played it, sucks to be you. Go get it. Somehow.
All right. There it is, the classic game of the week, Project Justice, which Darsakura is amazed that she never picked before. But there's always more hidden gems to be found.
Super amazed. Like, yeah. How could I have not?
Questbuster in chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, I love the days when Capcom could afford to be occasionally crazy with their ideas. Hugs copy of Pocket Fighter. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's I wish that we would get like though a 2D Capcom collection, mm-hmm. so that, you know, we can have, you know, things like Cyberbots and Red Earth. And I mean, I have two copies of Cyberbots. I have the limited edition and the regular one. But I would love to have just like the not released in America fighting game pack.
Oh yeah. You know, there was just recently that Kunio-kun collection with all these like NES games that were never released here. And then, of course, like, you know, a Secret of Mana 3 finally, or Trials of Mana, if you will, finally like broke that barrier. And that the remake of the, or remaster, whatever you want to call it, of that game is on its way out pretty soon, too. So it's almost like all these old things that never came out are finally new again. Nintendo.
I like how Orange Wright says it, the not Street Fighter anniversary.
Is Nintendo listening? Mother 3? Hello? Hello? Hello?
You know, I actually bought a repro cart that had been translated just to sit down and play it.
Nice.
Mother 3.
Nice.
You see, if you want to borrow it, you're welcome to.
Cool. Did you see the Animal Crossing level that like opted all the stuff from the Mother series or Earthbound, all the assets? It looked really cool. It was really well done. Yeah, you gotta see it. Yeah,
okay.
It's really cool. Google it. It'll be out there somewhere.
But did you hear what I read from Orange Wright? The not Street Fighter anniversary collection.
Oh, yeah. Currently. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to see something like that. You know, just before we went on air tonight, and I don't think it's coming up later in the show, Capcom, I think, said they're looking at, a rumor is, I think it's a rumor, that's why I didn't really put it there, that Resident Evil 4 remake is coming up next, even though, I don't know if they should.
Who was surprised? No one.
That one is so good, I don't know if they should remake it, but whatever, they're going to, because the other two have done very well in sales. But I there is a part of me that's like, why don't you explore some other things, some other games that you have?
Dan and I were talking about this earlier, and if they were going to redo one, you know what? I want Code Veronica.
That's what a lot of people are saying. It's funny you say that, because that actually is like what comes the next breath, what a lot of people are saying when people are talking about the Resident Evil 4. How about Code Veronica next? So, yeah, Thower66 in our chat right there. I would have preferred Code Veronica. Yeah, a lot of people out there saying that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens from Capcom, because I don't believe they've officially announced anything yet. So, all right, well, there you go.
Code Veronica, though, was to me pinnacle, so just saying.
There it is, the classic game of the week. Let's do some rapid-fire news. Loki, we'll start with you.
So the updates for No Man's Sky just keep on coming. So we've got pretty cool stuff in the giant mechs you get to pilot. So the Exomech is part of update 2.4. and allows you to pilot these mechs, and of course they are immune to planetary hazards, and they have a pretty awesome cockpit as well, and look pretty awesome. In fact, I decided to make the picture of the mech that they posted on Twitter my background for my work computer, and it looks pretty awesome. It's almost like a little bit of No Man's Sky-ish, but of course much slower, not as fast, but I really do need to go play this game. Maybe I'll install it on my hard drive. But yeah, so check that out. It's free if you own the game.
Yet another thing to go check out.
Exactly. Well, if you're looking for some more free games to play during this whole COVID-19 situation, then you'll be lucky to know that Just Cause 4 is going to be among the free games that are this coming week on the Epic Games Store. And that's pretty awesome, because I did skip this game. At least I think I did. Maybe I have it in my catalog, I don't remember. And so yeah, it'll be nice to have this and actually be able to, now I'm second guessing myself, maybe I did buy this on PlayStation 4 and I just completely forgot about it. It wouldn't be the first time that I've gotten the game and completely forgotten about it. But anyways, along with that, there's going to be some other games, including a visual novel of Aurelia. That's also going to be coming free as well. And then if you act now, Sherlock Holmes, Crime and Punishments, and Close to the Sun are free. But those are only going to be free until Tuesday, when these new games will come up and we free vent.
I get those annoying little messages in the system tray that remind me to download those free games, so that's kind of nice, I guess.
Yes, so definitely do that. Just cause I should probably convince my son to download it because he'd have fun playing that game.
All right. Well, let's move on to some other stories. This one has to do with Discord and a new beta feature that's happening in Discord called the Background Noise Reducer. You may have seen this in your own Discord. It just showed up there for me in the bottom left. So it is a noise suppression beta feature. It's only on the desktop version of the app, though, not the mobile version. And it is supposed to reduce and remove background sounds. So voice and video chat folks only hear you speaking, and you shouldn't hear the clack, 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 clack of a keyboard or the kids in the background or the pots and pans clanging or whatever it is going on. The technology is from a company called Crisp, and it is running locally. It is not sharing data with anybody else. Development is still early on, and they are working on a phone version of it. So that's cool. A lot of other meeting software could use something like that, that's for sure. I'm really excited about this other feature here that Twitch is looking at doing, or is actually rolled out to partners. It's called Prime Watch Parties. So it's kind of like that Netflix party idea, except you're kind of leveraging Twitch. And you have to have a Amazon Prime to really, like, if you don't have an Amazon Prime subscription, you just see the webcam or whatever of the person watching. But if you have both, you get the webcam of the person watching in the corner, and then you actually get, like, the Amazon Prime show, whatever they're watching, timed up to where they're at in the main screen. So you actually get both at the same time, so it's kind of like an interactive watch party. They've actually been kind of playing with this feature since October last year, but now all partners have the access to be able to use this. I was looking at one earlier today, and my instant reaction was like, I want to do this at VOG. Like, I want to get some of the Star Trek Starboard Power Coupling people together and watch episodes of Star Trek. Wouldn't that be great? Except it's not out for affiliates yet, and I'm not. It's a little weird because you have to link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch, and since VOG Network, this account isn't really a person, I'm not sure we're going to be able to really do that. So it might just have to be something on my personal channel. But it's still something that I'm really interested in doing because I think that's really fun. And especially in this day and age, man, that's the type of stuff we could really use. So, I think it's a really cool idea. It kind of takes that Netflix party to the next level, because Netflix, that used to be a thing on Xbox 360. Then they kind of shot it down, right? And then there's an unofficial Google Chrome add-on that kind of does the same thing that hasn't been shut down yet. So, no. SSG100 Matt in chat says, first name VOG, last name Network, middle name Smush. You never know. I don't want to break the rules. We're professionals here most of the time. So, I mean, if I can just use my personal account on VOG's thing, then I would do it. But I don't want to break the rules. So as long as everything is by the rules, then we'll figure out a way. But if I have to do it on my personal channel, then I will. Dark Sakura, how about you?
Well, we have an update about Audie, everybody's Animal Crossing grandmother, the one who logged 3,500 hours playing on New Leaf. Well, the internet got together, all of her fans out there, and had a crowdfunding to buy her the limited edition Animal Crossing Switch, which I watched the unboxing. It was adorable. She's like, I don't know how to do the button. I want to say, was this her grandson helping her create her character and everything? But, we need to see that if Audie actually gets Audie in her town, which would be great, because as we know, Nintendo of America named a character after her in the game. We'll see. I just think it's an absolutely sweet. And she just looked tickled to bits and really amused by the whole thing. And then in other news, regarding Streets of Rage 4, it is coming, quote, soon, with classic characters and with soundtracks. There was a tweet by Lizard Cube that confirmed the existence of the classic characters and the original soundtracks, and also bringing back returning characters like Max Skate and Dr. Zahn are playable in their 16-bit forms with a price of $24.99 confirmed, but it does not confirm the April 23rd release date, and only that it is coming out soon. However, there was an Australian Nintendo eShop listing that stated that it would have a storefront release on April 23rd with a price of around 38 Australian dollars, which is roughly $25 US. Listing says 12 unique stages, the ability to unlock and play as classic characters, an option to switch out the new soundtrack with the original Streets of Rage games. And so, hey, there we go.
All right. Sounds good. I'm excited to hear that new soundtrack, that sweet new Yuzo Koshiro music. Very excited. All right, let's
I love Yuzo Koshiro's music.
Let's travel around the world and check out the release dates for this week, although I have a feeling there might not be a lot, but we'll check in anyway and check out the releases. So let's start with the U.S. Is there anything on the U.S.?
Yes, not much. Ace Engineer's coming out on Vampire the Masquerade, the Coteries of New York on Xbox One. And pretty much it. I was just going to see if there's any other digital games, since this list doesn't have a lot of digital games. So I'm going to read some of the weird name titles that are on this list. Like,
okay.
For example, we've got a game called Save Your Nuts on Xbox One and Switch. The Double Dragon collection looks like it's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Switch. So we have Double Dragon on PS4 and Double Dragon 3 on PS4, Double Dragon 2 on PS4 and Switch, and River City Ransom coming to PlayStation 4 as well this week. Lots of like digital games coming out this week. So yeah, whereas there may not be a lot of games coming out, there's definitely games you can check out, like Super Forklift 3000 on PC.
All right. Nice. All right. Let's travel over to Japan and check out the release dates in Japan this week, although I'm not seeing an awful lot happening. Let's see. On the 17th on the Nintendo Switch, there's a Guacamelee collection coming out. That's, I think, the only thing I really see there. Looking on the PlayStation 4, do we have anything different there? No, that's it. It's a very quiet week in Japan this week, but considering everything that's going on, I'm kind of not surprised. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Crickets, chirp, chirp.
Yeah.
Chirp. Nothing until the 22nd.
Yeah, with all that's going on, I'm not too surprised about that. All right. We're going to do things a little bit out of order because I know Dark Sakura has to cut out soon here. So I'm going to shake up what you see on the sidebar a little bit. So Dark Sakura, do you want to take your next story here, which is actually at the bottom of the list there for those watching on Twitch? For those on the podcast feed, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We actually show the upcoming headlines. So we're going to do this one down here at the bottom before Dark Sakura says goodnight.
This one's a doozy. So it is a very, very write-up by CNET, and I'm more than happy to share this with people, but I'm going to give you the cliff notes on it just because it is absolutely worth mentioning. So they're talking about the upcoming systems in the climate crisis that our next-generation consoles could be worse for the environment. And there's actually a game studio called Wildworks where their CEO, Clark Stacey, is quoted saying, "I don't think it occurred to many people in the games industry to ask what sort of climate impact came directly from making and playing games." But they're looking at, you know, things like the overall output of these systems and what they're releasing in just carbon dioxide. For example, the PS4... said that basically if you have 100 million PlayStation 4 units sold since 2013, generated approximately 9.8 million tons of carbon dioxide, which would put it at 108th place for emissions in 2016. It would outrank Costa Rica. It would outrank an entire country. And then in energy usage, that number would double, more than double. And then Xbox One, they have a slightly smaller, but a single Xbox unit emits 1.23 tons of carbon dioxide over an 8-year life cycle. And so it is a lot more friendly than, say, the PS4 for its release, but it would still be 0.76 tons. And if you were using a less conservative estimate that the general output from these systems would be something along the lines of taking between 40 and 95 million flights from New York to Los Angeles. So pretty intense. So the video games industry, Sony and Microsoft have been challenged to do better. For the average PCs and current generation of consoles, they account for 2.4% of residential electricity expenditures in the U.S. and have a carbon emission release of 24 million tons, which is about the same as Sri Lanka in 2017. So a whole country. And then the devices associated with it, like the TVs and peripherals, were responsible for 66% of home energy use from gaming in 2016. So going back to what then I was saying, Microsoft and Sony have been definitely challenged. There was a conference, I'm trying to get the name again because, like I said, this is the big article. But they were challenged by in the UN's Playing for Planet Alliance to create 825,000 carbon neutral Xbox One X consoles, which would be under 2% of all consoles made, but every little bit helps. But they're also wanting to make them, more carbon neutral by buying high quality carbon offsets and using renewable energy. Sony announced on March 18th, Mark Cerny, who's the lead systems architect on the PS5, said, did not make a single mention of energy draw or the environmental impact. The only thing we have about this comes from Jim Ryan, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, who said that they would be able to suspend gameplay with much lower power consumption than the PS4, and that if 1 million users enable this feature, it would save the equivalent to average electricity use of 1,000 U.S. homes. And Nintendo, however, a Switch uses a bunch less energy than the other systems. Lower processing power and graphic fidelity, for one thing, results in less energy consumption. They're focused on, better games, even if they don't have that hardware.
Size of those things, they practically run off a rechargeable battery, so it's kind of inherently built in.
And even a solid 3 hours of playing using the handheld mode, it does not get hot.
Yeah.
So,
And that's kind of one thing I was curious about is that, I don't know if it's like going to be realistic to say, oh, we shouldn't have PlayStation 5 or Xbox One X or Xbox Series X. Maybe there's better things they could do in the manufacturing process, like you kind of brought up there with some of the carbon-free consoles. But I wonder if there aren't maybe small measures we can take on the consumer side to, and you kind of brought one up there that maybe there's a thing you can enable there to use the lower power consumption in the background that maybe our consoles don't necessarily have to be always on. Like I know it's very convenient to have like the patch downloads and things like that, but like I know my Xbox One started making weird noises. So I kind of like, I unplug it like completely when I'm not using it. And then like I'll plug it in like an hour before I plan on using it to do any like patch downloads and things like that. But like, maybe that's a thing. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying everybody has to do it my way, but maybe there's things consumers can do to kind of cut back on some of that energy usage.
Well, there's a little bit more. So there is Clark Stacey, again, the head of WildWorks, has, called out a few different things. Like, for example, I'm going a little bit more into cloud networking for, data saves for games, for all that type of thing. And the fact that the data centers require a huge amount of energy cooling systems that make it run 24 hours a day, you know, forever. And actually, this is a different quote by Adele Tusi, who's a data engineer at Monash University. A typical cloud data center consumes as much energy as 25,000 households. And Clark Stacey, who I mentioned earlier, goes on to say that Google and Apple are leading the way, basically saying that since the data centers are 100% powered by renewable energy, then, you know, this actually requires the companies that use renewable energy to invest in renewable energy for the open market. Ubisoft has gone 99%, which has basically had them to release far less carbon dioxide in, you know, into the atmosphere. But the thing is that a lot of these other groups that are using cloud-based services, or even their own, you know, like the, I'm trying to think of just, you know, general operations, if they could lower that impact. I mean, right now, data centers make up, they actually could make up approximately 60% of all energy uses in communication by 2025. So we really need to be pushing them, you know, into, into using cleaner energy, into finding renewable resources. And this has to start top down. But the thing is that these companies aren't seeing any sort of liability for, you know, in climate change based on, their current operation status. They're not really having too much of an incentive other than, you know, the public, you know, poking back at them. You know, if they were, you know, and we also need companies to be parent, but some of the major studios like Activision, Take-Two, EA, they haven't put any type of report on their emissions or their energy usage. And Microsoft, one of their spokespeople, did say committed to sustainability. Sony and Nintendo did not respond to a request for comment. But and of course, we have all of our handhelds too. You know, look at the energy usage from there. And I'm glad to see that some of the big companies, you know, are innovating and jumping the gun on getting the emissions reduced. You know, making things with more renewable, full, you know, I think now a lot of computers and handheld devices are made from recycled material.
Right.
So that's good, but we need to hold people's asses to the fire. Yeah, and right now.
And I think awareness is probably like a big component of this. And one thing that we probably need our gaming media, our gaming press to do is, you know, now that we know, you know, where these things are coming from. So cloud gaming is the future, but at what cost? As you kind of point out there, we kind of need our people that have access to be able to interview these folks to kind of ask these questions. It doesn't have to be done in a punitive or a negative way, but, you know, okay, this cloud gaming sounds great, but what are you doing to ensure that there's no harm to the planet from it? Or what are you doing to cut back on these? We need these people to ask those, because unfortunately, we could sit here on our little podcast and say those types of things and think about the things that we could do maybe a little more directly, but we're not going to realistically be able to really affect the change the way that people that have more direct access have the ability to do that, if that makes sense.
Like I was saying, it has to start top down, you know. But, you know,
But I'm really surprised on Microsoft's side of things, especially. I know Bill Gates doesn't run it anymore, and in fact, Bill Gates isn't even involved with the board anymore. But I'm just surprised with him kind of being the legacy of Microsoft and everything him and his foundation have done for the planet. I'm really surprised they're not at the forefront of this, which they ought to be.
See, Microsoft has really been – I mean, they're late to the game in terms of environmental viability. Other companies have really been doing a lot better than them. I mean, I think that, well, and here was what the example say, and this actually brings our current pandemic into things. Look at how much these places around us have cleaned up without the level of energy and material and pollution being put out. If we can get companies to do, you know, to what's the lack of a better description, to have that same kind of control, to keep things isolated, to you know, using those renewable resources, keep them using recycled materials to, you know, put pressure on the government, for example, to find cleaner ways of shipping, you know, games and all of that. We could really, really make such a big impact.
You know, piggybacking on that a little bit, this is the hottest of hot takes, but some would say that, you know, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, take it or leave it, but some would say that the pandemic and what's happening is, in this, I guess this depends on what you believe in, and in science over, this is Earth's response to the humans living on it not responding to climate change. You know what I mean? When you see that direct impact that, you know, the pandemic kind of isolating people in their homes and so forth is having on the climate, you know, some would say that is the Earth healing itself.
At least it's not the happening.
Yeah, right. So anyway, I know that's but I know that is the hottest of takes, but it's one of those things that makes you go, hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? And there's also this thing going on. Oh, this is, you know, I don't think it's people that are the virus. I think that is people's decisions. We all have to be able to, and now I'm going to be getting into a bit more broad outside of video games, but we all have to look at what our personal impact is, and we have to make good on it. You know, and I'm not talking about, fuck that whole thing was ableist as fuck. But I mean, we have to look at the companies that we are shopping from and what they are doing and the fact that our money is supporting their bullshit. You know, we have to find those. We have people accountable, and we have to, you know, and speaking of top down in this country, we have to fucking start with top down.
All right.
So things don't shape up. We're not.
Hmm? Yeah, you guys are both cutting in and out a lot. I thought it was maybe just my Wi-Fi and to my phone.
You're cutting out too.
Okay. Oh boy. All right.
So what I said is, I said if things don't start shaping up, we're gonna have to start bombing Mako.
I think he's making a Final Fantasy VII remake joke.
Oh. Yeah, let's go hit Shinra in the balls.
All right, anyway, I definitely wanted to read this comment. So, sorry, no, Bobby, it's not the new noise canceling, because I specifically said before the show, don't turn that on until we have a chance to play with it. It's not the new noise canceling.
I didn't even know it existed, so I didn't touch it.
Yeah, VG Realness in chat says, I feel like some gaming press is afraid to ask the hard questions for fear of not getting early releases. And that is a big basket of bullshit in this industry. I mean, it's not even about this climate change thing, which, I mean, is certainly something. But, I mean, it's a whole thing where it's like we've known for some time that, you know, outlets who don't ask the hard questions get get their hands slapped. And, you know, unfortunately, as Darkstalker was talking about, some things are from the top down. And when you see the same type of thing happening at the highest of offices in North America, or excuse me, in the United States, then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Anyway.
I also want to respond to Pod Culture, to Brad.
Yeah.
Digital only is pretty damn clean. But going back to the thing in that CNET article I was going off of, bear in mind that it takes energy for the downloads. It takes energy to host the digital copies. We're getting back into the cloud services, and those cloud services use a fuck ton of energy unless they are doing a lot more to offset it.
Yeah. So even though it might be less physical waste, which certainly would be a thing, it's, you know, again, there might still be a trade-off for that. So anyway, and some folks in chat, just kind of like breaking news or whatever, folks in chat are saying PlayStation Network is apparently down right now. So I wonder if there isn't a whole thing going on with the internet, because, yeah, you guys have been – and I thought maybe it was just me because for those that don't know how things are wired, I actually have two accounts on Discord. So I have one account that strictly is on the wired connection, and it also feeds in my microphone and the mixing board, and so it kind of mixes everything with them on Discord. And then the way I listen to them so that you don't hear the feedback is I am in on my own personal account on this Wi-Fi on my phone. That's why I've been wearing headphones ever since we started doing the social distant episodes of OLR. So I thought maybe my Wi-Fi was cutting in and out. So I was just kind of – because I was watching the meters and they didn't seem to be dropping. But apparently it's a weird internet issue going on. So I don't know what's up. So sorry, guys. But we're doing our best. Wish we could all be in the same room. But it is what it is.
And as I said, I was going to put – because like I said, there's a bunch more in this article. So I posted it on my own at Dark. So if you want to, you know, read up on it and look at what you can do, then, you know, I'd say give it a look over, see, you know, what needs to be done, who needs to be talked to, and hold their asses to the fire.
All right.
I have spoken.
All right. Well, on that note, Dark Soccer, I know you need to take off. So any final thoughts or last thoughts for our listeners tonight before you take off?
Send me chocolate, like legit. Go. No one guessed my fucking favorite chocolate, by the way. So it's Vosages. It's the stout chocolate. I require many bars of this sent to my house. Message me for details.
And that is very true, because every time I go to Chicago, where they have a lot of it, that's what I bring back Dark Sakura when she's doing the kitty sitting. So
I can find, by the way, the bars at the Nugget, but I cannot get those delicious truffles.
Yeah, so those are harder to find. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I love you for it. Love, 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 heart, heart, heart.
All right. Take care, Dr. Saka, and we'll see you next week.
Be well. Be all safe. Right.
I'll try.
Don't be stupid, people. Stay in your house.
All right. Let's move on to our mailbag. Participate at orangelaundradio.com is the place where you can send us an email every week. We got one quick email tonight. This is from Robert M., who emailed us to say, I haven't heard it discussed, but after 4 years, WayForward released their formerly Humble Bundle subscription exclusive, Cat Girl Without Salad, on the Switch, appropriately, on April 1st. The voice-acted humor is pretty good, but I can really see it getting repeated over multiple plays of the few levels. Might not be worth the $9 for everybody, but a fun distraction between New Horizons sessions. $9 is really, really low price, though. But and thank you for the email. Appreciate that. And just based on the title, it sounds like something I want to check out. The problem is, and for me, this is a big problem with the Switch overall. It's great that they have a lot of games, but their eShop doesn't handle that avalanche of games very well unless you know what you're looking for.
Right.
It's not like Steam. Even Steam is starting to kind of buckle under the weight. It's not very easy to kind of explore and find things on there. Because I had no idea about this game until you sent an email. So I think the best thing you can do when you have a little indie game that you like this, help spread the word. You know, and I say it at the end of every Orange Lounge Radio because it's true for us as an indie podcast. You know, we're never going to get the types of views that IGN podcasts, GameSpot podcasts, or employees that formerly worked for those organizations having their own podcasts. We're not going to have those types of numbers because we don't have that. So the best thing you can do for us is help us spread the word. And the same thing is true of these indie Switch titles because they don't, even though they're on the Switch, they don't have Nintendo's name on them. So spread the word. That's why I like to do that for YYR. We have a small audience here at Orange Lounge Radio, but I like to pimp YYR's games, which, by the way, did you buy Sharpshooter yet? Because they're very good, and I think people should see them, especially Super Multitasking. It blows my mind that that game has not gone viral. But, you know, just you got to spread the word. Tell people about the products you love. So I will say this, Robert M., you are doing the right thing when it comes to how to spread the word for finding those games on the marketplace. And I will check that out. Cat Girl Without Salad. Spreading the word by streaming games is a big one as well. Do you want to Rob Roberts' super hot take, Loki? Do you want a really unpopular super hot take about streaming games?
Yeah.
I think, and this is my opinion, and I'm speaking of no other streamer or no other watcher other than myself, I think it is a bad idea to stream Final Fantasy VII Remake right now. Because I don't think narrative video games like that make for very good streams. Because if you drop in and out, you're either going to be spoiling yourself on the story for the game you hope to be playing, or you're going to be dropping in on something where you didn't see the whole few hours leading up to this particular point. And I just – this then there's a reason why I kind of stopped streaming those types of games, because I'm not sure it's always like – it's not really what I enjoy either. I don't necessarily like all the personalities that I do see streaming some of these games kind of like doing their own voice acting or doing their own thing on top of this. Like, I just don't think narrative games like that make for very good streams. On the flip side, I think Animal Crossing and those more like evergreen games that are meant for user-created content, I think they're great games to stream. And I think that's why games like Minecraft and like a lot of things that are very like user-driven, Stardew Valley, I think that's why those games have tended to do very well on Twitch in the past, because I think those streams are better.
Well, they also do a lot of creative things. Like, oddly enough, so like, you know, my kids watch a ton of Minecraft streams and Roblox stuff and all that. I've started to watch more of those now, and it's because it's not necessarily that it's vanilla plain Minecraft. They do
interesting things with it. Like, for example, one I watched the other day, it was two players trying to speedrun Minecraft while they have a Terminator after them. And the Terminator is basically an AI bot that's just hunts them down and while they're playing it. And that made it interesting. They have a person, one person trying to speedrun the game and beat it. The other one has a compass that points to where the other person is, and they're trying to stop them from beating the game. And so those are fun. I mean, just like, or like some of the ultimate hardcore stuff that they do, or like the deathmatch stuff are pretty fun. Yeah. They can mix it up.
And of course, my hot take is getting a lot of comments in chat. See what happens when you don't send emails. That's going to happen now. You're going to get a Rob Roberts really super hot take. maybe it'll be on Drag Race, maybe not. So some comments here that it's generating here. Bobby Blackwell says, I only stream narrative games if they were on MS-DOS in the 90s. And again, I'm not calling any single person out or anything out. And myself, like, I was streaming Ni No Kuni 2 when it first came out. And then I kind of realized, like, by the time I got to, like, part 4 or 5, I'm like, if you didn't see part 1, why would you come watch parts 4 and 5? And that's why, like, when I see the tweets that are like, come watch my Nier Automata was when I was looking for videos because I love the soundtrack. So I was like, and I would see these videos would come up on the side, watch my Nier Automata part 23 playthrough. And I'm like, girl, if I didn't watch part 1, I ain't going to watch part 23. But if all you're streaming is part 1, I think that's different. And that's what kind of Bobby gets. So when you're doing like the MS-DOS game in the 90s, I feel like you usually do that first play, and then that's usually it. And that's kind of where it gets those first couple hours types of things. Yeah, if I streamed Final Fantasy VII Remake, it would just be the beginning of the game. Exactly. That's different. Like the demo, that's a good little like sample of the game, and then you're not getting too far into it. But like, I'm not going to – and this is any streamer I'm following, and I love you guys. I love the community and so forth. But like, if you're streaming Final Fantasy VII Remake right now, I'm not going to visit your channel because you might be further along than I am, and I don't want to be spoiled. It's just as simple as that. VG Realness says, say their names. Everybody is guilty. I've been guilty of it. You've been guilty of it. Everybody's guilty of it. I'm calling out the planet. let's see. yeah, sorry. I'm dragging everybody today, says SSG100 Matt. Questbuster says, I'll watch some classic game streams where no one says a thing, but because I love the gamer, I'm really curious about retro. I'll stick with it. Again, it's different strokes for different folks. And I think, you know, again, I'm not saying you shouldn't watch these streams. You should, actually, because I don't want to. So somebody should be supporting these streams. But I just think it isn't the most compelling content to be streaming narrative games part 23. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Bobby Blackwolf, I'm laughing because of the comments in chat. Bobby Blackwolf says, Rob's being affected by Mako. I keep wanting to say Mako, but now we've learned it's Mako. Rob's being affected by the Mako. The planet is crying out in pain and he's mad. Yeah, I'm mad. All right, let's move on. Loki, quick, change the subject before I get another hot take out there that gets me in trouble.
So we should stream this too because it would be pretty fun.
No, but, I don't want to get canceled.
So the Lego Super Mario sets, they're going to be launching August. So they, of course, announced this a few weeks ago. And so now we have some pricing and what exactly it's going to be. So I don't think it's necessarily too expensive. But the starter set, $60 Adventures with Mario Starter Course, yes, $60. If you pre-order it, you also get a little, it's called Super Mushroom and Monty Mole. So it's like a little collector's thing that you can get as well that adds some more stuff to that. I'm not sure if you'll be able to pre-order those. I think they've stopped taking pre-orders because it's already been so popular. So there's that. And then they showed off some sets. Piranha Plant set that looks like a little seesaw thing with two piranha plants on it, and that's $30. And then of course, you know, the Bowser's Castle boss battle expansion, which is $100. And you know, when you're talking about Lego prices, that's not too bad.
Not a lot of pieces, though. But then again, the Mario's, like, the character itself is very sophisticated with these and, you know, a voice and everything like that. So I can understand how that might be a bit more expensive. The Bowser Castle thing looks pretty awesome, though, I got to say.
Yeah, those Legos, I mean, as expensive as they are, I mean, what else is new with Lego? They look so cool. Like,
they
honestly,
they do look very cool.
Sign me up. Uncle Sam's sending me $2,400. Why not blow it on Legos? I'm sorry. I should.
Exactly.
But like, the... you know, there's lots of people thinking it. Like, what dumb shit am I going to spend that? Although I shouldn't make light, because a lot of people really need that for very serious things. But there are a lot of other people that are like, oh, I should spend that money on Legos. Why not? So anyway, Pixel Pacas in chat says, I want the Bowser set. Let's see. They're talking about the ability to post GIFs in the chat. And I'm like, yes, I'm all for that. You should be able to post GIFs. But Loki, are you gonna buy the Legos and do some building?
Probably.
Yeah, same. Big same. All right. Let's move on and talk about BlizzCon, or potentially lack thereof. We just don't know yet. BlizzCon is still too far away. Blizzard made an official statement about BlizzCon 2020 this week, and honestly, they had a non-answer answer. They don't know. Usually by this point, we would know when BlizzCon is happening, and we might even see the tickets, or at least the ticket sale date, be announced. But Blizzard has said, while we're hopeful things will look better later in the year, the bottom line is that at this point, it's too early to know whether BlizzCon 2020 will be feasible. They have a lot of their own employees. In fact, I think all their employees are working at home right now at Blizzard. I mean, certainly there's a whole side of event planning there. So those folks are still event planning because until, you know, they would rather plan something and have to cancel it than not have planned it at all and find out, you know, miraculously we have a cure by the summer. I know I that's probably not realistic and I shouldn't even say that, but you know, you always cross your fingers and your toes. Maybe something will come through. But anyhow, Blizzard does acknowledge that it could be several months before they know if they're going to be forced to cancel BlizzCon or not. And that's the case with everything in the fall right now. Like early on in this process, it was definitely like, oh, Dragon Con, BlizzCon, FanFest, all those things that happen in the fall, we'll be fine. This will be over by the fall. And now the longer that this goes on, they talk more about the curve. They talk about potential second waves. And we don't necessarily have all the answers. We don't really know. Like, is it going to be safe for all those nerds to be who don't always take a shower to be crammed together in the Anaheim Convention Center? That might not be a good idea, actually. So we don't know yet. We just don't know, and neither does Blizzard, and so we'll have more information on that in the coming months. But there is going to come a point where they're going to have to make a go or a no-go. Like, there is going to come a point where, you know, they have to make their decision. So we'll see. We'll see what's talking. All right.
Do you think they would try to do, like, a digital-only event and money?
I'm sure Blizzard would do a digital-only event. Would they charge money for it? That's a very good question, because BlizzCon is also all of their championship games. And if they can't really do that, I mean, I guess they could just do it via distance or something, but I'm not sure. Like Hearthstone, you could probably do that way, but I'm not sure you could do things like Heroes of the Storm or Mythic Dungeon that's like five people or Overwatch. I'm not sure you could do all those as easy. So I wouldn't rule it out, but yeah, it's not necessarily going to happen either. Sia Tiberian chat says, I hope more comedians start doing Zoom shows. This is a big thing in the drag community, actually, too. There's a lot of drag kings. I know a lot of drag kings locally that are doing their own shows on Instagram. And actually, I don't want to say who it is, but I actually follow a drag queen on social media, and I actually chatted with them about, and it's one of the Rue girls, so you'd know who they are, that wants to start doing a Twitch stream. And so I was giving them, like, I was talking to them about, because they use a Mac, and I was like, oh, well, good news, so do I. And I was telling them about how to download OBS and all that stuff. So we'll see if they actually do it, because I think a lot of people really like the Twitch bits system as being able to donate and tip and so that stuff on demand. So a lot of drag queens are looking at Twitch as an ability to do that. And so, you know, put any artist, you might kind of roll your eyes, oh, there's Rob talking about drag queens again. But where that goes, comedians – and other types of artists, that whole stuff will probably follow, especially the longer that this goes on. That's for sure. So, all right. Yeah, VG Realness in chat says that must be really hard without audience feedback or immediate feedback, I should say.
It is weird watching, like, even like some of the late
Late night shows. Yeah,
the watching the audience, you know, normally is laughing and stuff like that, and having their jokes without any of that, it's kind of a little weird.
Yeah, and that made that I did watch some of the Saturday Night Live, and it was weird. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that they did it and they tried it, but it was a little weird. But again, for Twitch's benefit, when it comes to those types of performances, they have the chat room. So they are getting that stuff. They are getting, I mean, it might not be the actual audio laughter, but they do get their ha ha ha's and their LOLs and their emoticon spams in real time. And at least it shows them, oh, somebody's out there. I'm not just talking to myself. And that goes a long way. Anybody that's done streaming before knows, even though you still need to stream, even when nobody's watching and you need to act like the world's watching, it does sure feel a lot better and rewarding when even one person is there saying, hi. Oh, LOL, or, you know, even this littlest thing will kind of like give you that motivation to keep going for a long time. So anyway, let's move on. So we already talked about the climate story. Dark Soccer did that before she left. So let's go to Loki with our next story.
Yeah, so this is kind of cool. So you've been seeing a lot of companies.
Loki, you're cutting out so bad. I don't know if there's even anything we can do about it. What I'm going to try to do... I'm going to reestablish your connection here. Can you just hang up on the channel and come right back to reestablish your connection?
Sure.
Literally turn it off and then on again. It's the first thing I want to try. See if that helps. Because I don't know about you guys, but it's very bad. Okay, try again, Loki.
All right. How's that?
So far, so good.
Cool. Yeah, I think there's just internet issues. God. And there's mosquitoes in the house. Okay. So anyways, so you have different companies actually stepping up to build ventilators. And one of those now is actually a PC company, of course, Main Gear, who does a lot of different like cases and whatnot. And so they're actually building a ventilator called the Live. And it's basically, it looks like it's built out of one of their old cases, but it's, you know, a complex oxygen delivery system with a touchscreen interface. And they say it can supply oxygen in 1.5 seconds. So pretty awesome that they're going to be manufacturing that. They said it can be manufactured at a scale at a quarter of the price of traditional ventilators, though it's pending FDA approval. But looks neat.
I hope those sorts of things like FDA approval don't take so long that by the time they're able to do it, it doesn't matter anymore, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of relaxed a little bit because of the pandemic situation, but I have a feeling that, you know, the process will be a little bit quicker.
And not to get like political or too off topic, but I kind of think these guys are getting ahead of the curve, because I think what's going to happen is I think they are going to, because I just in reading some of the news and stuff, I think they are going to invoke that Defense Act or whatever it's called, and they're going to force more companies to be creating things like tests and ventilators and things to help in this. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't already happened, especially with tests. But I think they're going to force a lot more companies to make these things in mass so that we can have the appropriate level of response. I really think that's how this ends. Or how – not how it ends, but how – We have a path to normalcy. I'll put it that way. But we'll see. Again, I'm not a politician. That's just my tinfoil hat talking. But to bring it back to games, as you're seeing in this particular story, game makers are not necessarily immune from that type of order, right? So.
Yeah.
I just ordered PC parts, actually, because my computer's been doing this weird, like, locking up thing lately. And I was like, you know what? I just want to buy new parts anyway. So I actually got a new graphics card. And I'm surprised, A, I was able to find one. And B, it got here as fast as it did, because I was quoted the end of the month for the card to get here. And it showed up yesterday. So I was like, all right, I'll take it. But I have a new graphics card for my games. I'm really excited. All right.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Last story here before we get to, I think we are going to try to take calls tonight, because somebody told me they wanted to call in and I really wanted to hear from this person. So I was like, all right, not that I don't. I was like, okay, all right, you know what? I need to try to get the Discord call thing working again. So we're going to try to do
and
it tonight.
And video. We need to do video too.
Yeah, we need to get video running again. I didn't think this would be for that long. so I wasn't going to force that issue, but here we are. So, yeah, that'll probably be a thing that comes. Just don't rush me. All right. If you want to call into the show, though, join the green room. And we'll get some folks here on the show. So get in the green room, just like always. We're hiding in a different channel, but go to the green room, and I'll still put you in the place you need to be. All right. For now, let's talk about a 35-year-old bug that's been patched, or at least that's the way it's being reported, although I'm not so sure I draw the same conclusion. However, an admin and a writer at the Cutting Room Floor website, which is a really cool website, by the way, but the admin Gold S has released a patch for Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo, yes, the 35-year-old game on the Nintendo Entertainment System that will change Lakitu's behavior. In saying in a quote, the spiny eggs are thrown by Lakitu in a simple way with no horizontal movement whatsoever. However, this is not the intended behavior and is actually the result of a bug. The eggs are supposed to be thrown out relative to the player's speed. Lakitu's speed, the player's position, and a pseudo-random value, as well as bounce off any blocks or walls that they hit on the way down. So how the heck did he find that this was a bug? He's just kind of assuming this was a bug, right? But apparently when looking at the code, it was kind of one of those things where it's like the code is in here, but it wasn't really calling on it, da-da-da-da-da. So that's where this patch came from. I'm really oversimplifying, but you know, I gotta try and keep this short. But one could also argue, how many times has this game been re-released at this point? I mean, especially this one. We had the Wii version. We had the Super Mario All-Stars. We had the Game Boy Advance. We had the Game Boy Color. Look, this game has come out again fucking lot of times. And did they ever change it? No.
Well,
so was it truly a bug, or was it one of those things where it's like, we just accepted that this is the way it is, and so we're not going to change it? I don't know.
I think that's maybe that they just didn't want to fix it because that's how it's always played, and it'd be weird if we changed something.
But it does. It is interesting. And Dr. Tetsuya says, I just thought this was neat. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It is neat. And I'm not saying anything bad or mean against the person that found it. I do think it's neat. I do think it's cool. But, you know, and it is just an interesting relic of, we can't really patch the old games. So even though I'm saying maybe it just kind of became accepted as the norm, you know, it's interesting to think, because Nintendo could not fix it, did that just become embraced as the norm, Lakitu's behavior, and that's why it was never fixed in a later release? That might really be the reason. We'll never know. But if Super Mario Brothers were released today, they could fix it. I mean, that's what they do with Animal Crossing. So Nintendo can fix things. They can patch things. They do it all the time now. So it's just interesting. YYR in chat says, do we know for a fact that this was never changed in later versions? They did make at least some changes to later versions. Specifically, like All-Stars, or I'm sorry, specifically Lakitu's behavior, no, is not different. There's a great little side-by-side comparison if you want to look at news stories on this. I was looking at an article at RetroRGB.com that had this article. I think this was actually linked in our Discord, because I know I stole a lot of stories from our Discord tonight. So thank you all to the Discord community over at vognetwork.com/Discord, where I do borrow stories, especially on Newsweeks where, you know, everybody's in quarantine. So the companies aren't always putting out news at the same length. But anyway, I'm looking at this, and there's a nice little GIF or a video here on the page that actually shows the before and after behavior. And you definitely see in the after, you see how the eggs have more of a arc, more of a like curvature to the way they're thrown, whereas in the normal game they just kind of go plurp, they kind of just plop down. So you definitely
kind of outrun
them
in the normal game, whereas
yeah,
with arcing it makes it a lot harder. You have to actually dodge them quite a bit.
It does. It's interesting. SG100 Matt in chat says, Miyamoto is willing to fix it, but you have to put in a support ticket and he has to be billed at his regular rate from 1985. I don't know about that. I wonder how often he gets in there and programs things anymore. I don't know. All right. Let's get to some calls. I see a couple folks in the green room, so let's try this out. We'll see how it goes. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hello, it's Delvin from VG Realness.
What a surprise to hear from you. Hi, Delvin.
Don't act like it's a surprise.
I just missed hearing from you. I missed talking to you, and I missed the world the way it used to be. But how are you?
I'm doing great. I've been enjoying the hell out of Final Fantasy VII, which is what I'm here for to talk about.
Okay, before I let you talk about that, can I just say, because I had to say, you came out here to visit and you were on an episode of OLR like a year and a half ago, right? And I keep saying, I'm going to go to Toronto. I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to go to Toronto. Last year, I couldn't go because I ended up changing jobs right in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have any time off. I couldn't do it. So this year, I was all gung-ho about going. And then, womp womp, pandemic.
Yeah.
Toronto Pride gets canceled. And now the gag is you're not even going to be in Toronto much longer, right?
Well, who knows at this point.
I guess that's true. Anyway, so I just – yeah, it's just one of those running jokes. Like, I'll go visit Delvin and return eventually. But anyway.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you've been playing Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, I have been playing it. And let me just preface this by saying I had to take a phone call right at the moment when you started talking about it. So if I'm repeating anything that you said earlier, I apologize.
Repeat away.
I've been enjoying the game a lot. And I have a different perspective on the game that I don't know that many people do, is that I didn't play the original, not by a choice. I tried to play the first one, and I had a little brother. And anyone who has a little brother may have also experienced this issue where they like to delete save files off from your games. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a game that they don't even play. They would just go and delete your save file. I don't know why, but he did this multiple times. When I had it on PlayStation, and then I said, okay, fine, forget it. I'm going to play it on PC. So then I started it on PC way back when it was like, you know, same
98 or whenever it came out.
Game. Yep. And then my computer crashed. So I lost the save file again. So I said, you know what? This is just not meant to be. And I just never played it because I was like, I can't play disc one anymore.
God is sending a message. Message received.
Yes. Message received. I'm not to play this game. So I left it alone. So anyway, here I am now playing this game, and it's really good. Honestly, the game feels really great. The characters and the world feels really alive. And the battles are really seamless. This game feels like this is what maybe how they wanted Final Fantasy XV to feel. And what they were kind of going for, but didn't quite hit the mark because they ran out of time. But the battle system just feels very fluid. And I mean, in 15, yes, it was, but this is just like perfected at this point. Totally really good. But what really has me irritated is the fans of Final Fantasy and the haters.
Get her, so Jade. Get her, Jade.
I don't know where this hatred and vitriol is coming from for some people. Like, some of the comments I'm seeing online is that, oh, you're paying $60 to replay something in better graphics just to pay another $60 for some quote unquote DLC when and if it arrives. So some people are even going as far to say, oh, well, Square's not even going to finish the game. They're only going to release one and maybe two and then not even release the completed product. And I don't even understand where that comment comes from, why they would leave that money on the table to not finish it.
A fundamental misunderstanding that this is not the same product anymore.
And that's the other thing. You know, again, I haven't played the original, so I don't know. But just going on comments and things from people who have played the game, such as yourself and other friends, like, this is not disc one as it was in its original game, which is what a lot of people are making the comparison. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's just disc one in better graphics. And, you know, that's not what really is being put here, you know. And then there's gamers who have like this purist attitude towards the game and saying, you know, they don't want to buy the game until it's completed because they feel it's incomplete or it's not long enough, you know. And my argument towards that is a lot of people are, you know, saying, okay, the game is only 30 to 40 hours. It's not long enough, so it's not justifiable to have the $60 price tag, $80 if you live in Canada, but whatever. And the way games are going today, games are generally 30 to 40 hours long. And, you know, for those diehard RPG fans, which I am a diehard RPG person as well, we have to really think and consider, what was a 100-hour RPG game back in the day? Was it really 100 hours worth of story? Or was at least a minimum of 40% of that time, so 40 hours of that gameplay, grinding, replaying dungeons over and over, killing things over and over and over and over to make the game feel like it's 100 hours? I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some games that I truly enjoy that, and I like that, but I don't want the game to be 100 hours, quote unquote, just and then making me have to grind to make the game artificially feel longer, just so RPG purists can be like, oh yeah, I can buy this game now because it's 100 hours.
And I don't know about your impression of what you played so far, but for me, like, when you are in that main story, this game has you by the balls and does not let go. Like, you are, like, it is intense. Maybe when you're doing the side quests and stuff, you get a little bit of a cool down period, but like, God, you need it.
Like, yeah,
like let me have a nap for a minute.
I'm not like super like pro at like, you know, games, and there were some battles where I died.
Or are you playing on normal or easy?
I'm playing on normal.
Oh, okay. And, well, that's to be expected then, on normal mode, I think.
Yeah, there were some battles I died, and
you have it also goes against that old school RPG mentality. Like, I really think to get through normal mode, even, you have to use potions and high potions. Whereas like in the old Final Fantasy games, we would stockpile that shit. Like, I got 99 potions in my inventory. Why? I might need them. I might need them on a bot. No, you are never gonna use those potions, because you never do.
Yeah, but,
like. The remake,
that is so true,
is challenge. Like, so my number one advice to you, Delvin, on those, use the fucking potions. Like, you have to challenge.
Oh, honey, she is buying the potions. She is hitting the vendors when they're on sale. Oh, this merchant has it on sale. I'm buying them. I'm buying all of them. Yes. Trust and believe.
Okay, I believe
all of them. But. Yeah, it's crazy. It's I don't know where this attitude is coming from people about this game. They want it to be a 100-hour experience. They don't feel like it's long enough. And I just really wish that people would put that thought out of their minds, this not being a complete game, you know. And by that same thought, you know, do we look at movie trilogies as incomplete? You know, like the Avengers whole movie saga. Do we just not watch the movies because, well, we know more of it's coming, so I'm not going to go and watch Captain America because I know it's not a complete movie. It's going to continue. Like, that's just a bad attitude.
You used the same argument I used on somebody on Twitter this week, which is somebody I like a lot, and so I don't want to make it sound like I'm fighting him or I'm cutting him down, but you know, somebody whose opinion I value replied to one of my tweets and said that, well, I don't really want to play the Final Fantasy VII remake until the whole thing is available and until I can experience the entire story. And I just replied and I said, you know, you got to do what's best for you. I said, but I hope by that logic, you didn't watch any of the Harry Potter movies until all 8 of them were out.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me, like, some of these comments that are being made that I'm seeing on Facebook and social media. It's just unfounded, you know. And what I will also say, one last thing, is that what Square is doing here, I would really like them to see them do with, go back and give this kind of refresh on some of the other games, because this is... And I don't like that they even call it a remake, because it's not. Because what we have instilled in our head as a remake, this is not a remake. This is a complete, like, a retelling of a game, so to speak. And
ooh, I like that. I'm going to steal that one, too. Retelling, reinvention, reimagining.
Yeah, and for gamers to expect, you know, a developer to make such a game that was originally 3-disc, 100 hours, and still released that for, you know, $60, I still think is a little bit unrealistic in today's world. And the reason I say that is because a developer can make a game that is like a single-player game, not talking about like the Destinies and the whatevers that are like constant ongoing games. Like a single-player experience game, you have to think about the amount of hours that would go into developing a game to make a game like that, say 100 hours worth of content, not everybody is going to play that. Let's be real. How many of us have single player games that we've bought and are sitting on our shelves incomplete? So we want developers to put all this effort into making these games so long that nobody finishes them, and they don't make us, they don't make the money from.
Delvin, I just want to know it's there. I just want to know that the next time there's a pandemic, I'll have entertainment. I just want that peace of mind.
But no, I just think it doesn't make sense. So I think this is a good approach, honestly. It may seem like price gouging, like, you know, Square is trying to take our money, but really it's not. They're really giving us a completely different experience. The game is amazing. It's gorgeous. So to any haters out there, I say put that thought out of your head.
Well, and
go enjoy the game.
I do want to say this. It's okay to not like the game. And I want to make that clear. Like, I don't want to say, oh my God, something's wrong with you.
No, it's not.
Well, I don't want to say, like, oh, there's something wrong with you if you dislike the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Maybe it's just not your type of game. Maybe the battle system, like, you really don't like the battle system and, you know, the camera controls, things like that. There might be, like, but my point is, know what it is you don't like about the game.
Right.
Don't assume you know what you don't like about the game. Therein is the difference.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I just want to make that clear, because I don't want somebody to feel like, oh my God, is like Rob going to drag me if I don't like Final Fantasy VII Remake? No, as long as you know what it is you don't like. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. But yeah, every time I see this whole like, well, I don't like it because it's only 10% of the original game, I'm just like, then you clearly haven't played it.
No, and you're just making a flippant statement.
You didn't even bother to look at the demo. You're making a snap judgment based off what everybody else on Twitter said. Your opinion is wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you know, this has actually inspired me now. I just actually downloaded Final Fantasy VII on my Switch, the original, because I'm dying to see what's changed. I want to see how the first few hours of the game played out versus this, just to see how different it is.
So like when I was doing chapter 3, and again, I got to keep things very vague because I don't want to spoil for those that haven't even touched the game yet. But when I was doing chapter 3, I was like, I swear this sequence was like 5 minutes in the original game. Like you go to this area, you talk to somebody, and then you're on to the next area. Like you're not spending the type of time. So like I had to go back. Like I actually looked at a playthrough. Like somebody had like one of those like 5 hour plays. Maybe that's how I got on the part 23 and all that stuff. But somebody had a Final Fantasy VII playthrough, and like the whole Midgar section is like 5 hours. And I was watching it. And I caught myself kind of watching it, and I was like, "This okay? Yeah. Like some of these things." Were like definitely not the same. Definitely not the same.
I probably should have considered just watching on YouTube instead of downloading the game, well, but whatever.
it's not like the question that came up earlier, you know, is Final Fantasy Remake then better than the original? I don't like better is a very relative term. Like the original is good for its own reasons. It's not the same game anymore. That's the reality.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like saying, is Final Fantasy VII better than Super Mario Brothers? That depends on a lot of factors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Delvin, I so appreciate your opinion. Are you producing any content these days? You still streaming or what? You got something to plug here?
I only stream like very, very rarely. Every now and then at my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VGRealness. Go ahead, throw a follow and turn your notifications on so you know when I'm streaming, but it's here and there. But I'm probably going to be doing it a little bit more now as we are in quarantine. But I need to finish FF7 first, because as we just talked about, it's not that interesting to watch. Well, not that it's not interesting, it's just not good content.
Yeah. But I will say this, I downloaded and played Dauntless because of you, because you were streaming it one night, and I was like, oh, I need to check out this game, and then I tried playing it, and I was terrible at it.
It's free.
It is free, so hey, I didn't lose any money, so. All right, Delvin, thank you so much. It was so great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There was another person in the green room, but they disappeared, so I guess they changed their mind. But I'll give it another minute, see if anybody comes back. In the meantime, do we have any last-minute stories, Loki?
Yes, we do. So cool. Apparently, you may remember the whole Atari VCS console
Well, we talked a little bit back in October about how this company, Tin Giant, had resigned from project development because they were saying that they were citing 6 months worth of unpaid invoices. Well, now Tin Giant, the head of that company, Rob White, has formally filed a suit in Colorado federal court claiming breach of contract to the tune of $261,000 because of unpaid contracts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here, but I don't know. I never hear anything positive coming out about this Atari console, and I don't even know when it's supposed to be coming out. The most recent release date, apparently, of the console was March 2020, and we haven't heard anything new yet.
Well, I'll cut them a little slack because I'm sure the pandemic situation screwed everything up. But let's be real. There was not the buzz for that Atari system just kind of wasn't there. Like, let's not mince words. Let's not hold it. The buzz for that Atari system just ain't fucking there. It's a very different story than, say, Intellivision last week. Obviously, Bobby was had Tommy on his show, and it was a great interview. I hope you guys all got to check that out and everything. And he's working hard to build buzz. Like, he even stopped by our little tiny, you know, tent in the slums here of podcasting to talk about Intellivision, whereas nobody's talking about that Atari system.
Yeah, in fact, according to the lawsuit, yeah, Tin Giant actually they basically said that, in fact, it was Atari's own mismanagement of the console project that was the cause of or reason for delayed launch. So,
I want to mention this in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork because Pod Culture was the person that was trying to get through on Discord and had some tech problems. So Pod Culture says, just a quick anecdote about sending Christina my OG Switch so she could play Animal Crossing New Horizons while locked down. You know, you're actually not the first person I've heard doing that because I guess the Switches are so hard to come by. I've heard of like people mailing their relatives and stuff because some people have a second Switch lying around because they might have bought the Switch Lite or they might have bought that Animal Crossing Switch or what have you. So for whatever reason, they upgraded, you know, because the battery life changed at some point too. So you're actually not the first I've heard of somebody doing that. I only have one Switch, so you know, I don't have one to mail out, but I have definitely heard of that. So that is very interesting side effect of not many Switches being available either. So anyway, just wanted to get that comment out there since he couldn't make the call work. Any other last minute stories, Logie?
It says apparently that Xbox has committed to a digital-only press conference for E3 2021.
That seems like a long way out to me. I do remember seeing that, and I forgot. I was going to bundle that with the Inside Xbox thing, but
yeah, they basically said yeah they've made the decision to transition all external and internal events to digital first experience through July 2021.
That seems like a long way out to say you're going to do digital, but okay, if it's digital first, then I can sort of okay, maybe they're just going more the Nintendo route and keeping things with the Direct and so forth. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Well, if that's it for Last Minute Stories, then I think we'll go ahead and wrap up tonight's show. We've been going for a little while tonight. It's a little longer than our last few shows, so we had a lot to talk about tonight. But I hope everyone enjoyed the show, and I want to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight, whether it was live here at Twitch TV. Thank you so much for being here. Or if it was on the podcast feed, thanks for checking us out, whether it was on iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify. Don't forget we're there now. Or wherever it is you listen to podcasts, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show because we only get folks here listening if they know about the show. So we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but you got to help us recruit those voices to get here. Auto host on Twitch, those go a long, long way, more than I could ever really tell you. So please, those are all fantastic as well. Really appreciate those hosts. So I think that's all I have on that side of things. So let's wrap up with our final thoughts. Loki, have a great week. We'll see you again next week. Stay safe and let's hope we get some good news on the curve and maybe things start to go downhill as far as – you know what I mean, like down the hill.
Yeah.
Not like things going downhill, but things going down the hill on the COVID situation this week and maybe some good news to report next week. But any last thoughts for our listeners tonight?
No, that's it. Yeah, hopefully we can play some more games this week. I would like to start working on my game. I just haven't been able to work that out. I've been switching up my – grocery shopping days, and so it takes a long time to grocery shop. You have to go to three different stores to get everything. But we were like super stocked up, so it's
that's good.
Hopefully next week it'll be lighter.
Yeah, that's good. And my final thought is, we do a lot of grocery shopping too, but I really like food delivery and supporting local restaurants, but it's so expensive. Like if we could find any way to cut the costs down, that'd be great. But you know, we got to pay the drivers, we got to pay the restaurants and so forth. So I guess maybe I need to do a little more takeout, but it's hard because you want to help everybody. But at the end of the day, I had an amazing Thai meal from downtown, on Friday. It was so good. So I definitely know as soon as this whole thing is over, I'm going back to eating out because it's so good. All right. Anyway, that's it. We're going to wrap up for this week. We'll be back in 7 days to do it again. Happy gaming, whether it's Animal Crossing, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Persona, whatever it is you're into this week. We hope you're having a great time doing it. Have fun. Stay safe. Stay indoors. Keep your distance. And we'll be back in 7 days to talk all over again. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.